April, so you know what that means. Hot cars! And Cool April Nights is back, April 19th to the 28th. It's going to be bigger than ever. So mark your calendar for 10 days of classic car fun. This year has more show and shine, a drive-in movie, cornhole tournament with $1,000 in prizes. Don't forget to dust off your lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday, April 26th. End the week by coming to the biggest show and shine of them all at the Civic Auditorium on Saturday, April 27th. There will be 2,000 classic cars on display, tons of great food, a variety of vendors, and lots of chances to win prizes at our annual Poker Walk or Raffle City. Get your tickets today at any of the 8 local Napa Auto Parts stores to avoid the line. Cool April Nights returns April 19th to the 28th, so mark your calendars. For a full schedule of events, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Last night, Israel finally struck back against Iran. Of course, earlier this week, over the weekend, Iran had struck Israel with some 350 drones, missiles, and Israel was expecting that it was going to have to fire back against Iran in some form or fashion. There were a few different options that had been tabled, that had been considered. One was a full-scale attack on Iran's nuclear facilities, for example, completely degrading their nuclear program. Another option would have been to do virtually nothing, which is what Joe Biden wanted to do. Israel last night decided on a third option. That would be a targeted strike, limited in nature, inside Iran, mainly to show the Iranians as a warning. Okay, guys, if you decide that you're going to escalate this thing, we are going to get to you much more than you are going to get to us. And that is what Israel pursued last night, which is, in fact, a useful means of deterrence. It's probably the best available scenario for both America and for America's allies in the region. If Israel had gone really heavy, there was always the possibility of serious escalation via Hezbollah in Israel's north that could have turned into a larger, full-blown war. Now, would it have been more in Israel's interest to completely destroy Iran's nuclear facility? Sure, it also would have been a lot riskier. Right now, the United States and Israel have been in this very fraught negotiation over what the United States will allow Israel to do. And so the Israeli government took a sort of conciliatory middle road by issuing this targeted strike against Iran. And the goal, of course, was deterrence of Iran itself directly, saying, listen, you guys fired 350 drones, missiles. We knocked nearly all of that down. We basically can hit you anytime, anywhere we want. So you guys better stand down. That was the goal of the Israelis, and it also offered, because it was so limited in nature, the Iranians an off-ramp. The Iranian off-ramp would be to deny that any of this ever happened, which, of course, is exactly what Iran did. Iran had been mouthing off a lot about the idea that if Israel launched a serious strike into Iranian territory, then Iran would up the ante with a broader retaliatory strike, and then you would have an escalating conflict. Israel issued a strike limited in nature so as to allow the Iranian government the possibility of basically denying that anything had ever happened. And that's basically what happened last night. Again, Israel is playing a different game than Joe Biden is used to. Israel is playing in an area, the Middle East, where what you do matters a hell of a lot more than what you say. Joe Biden has spent his entire career in places where what you say matters a hell of a lot more than what you do. And he is completely unfamiliar with the foreign policy realm where what you do matters an awful, awful lot, which is why reality keeps clocking Joe Biden directly in the face. Forget about Israel and Iran for a second. Think about the Saudi Arabian government. When Joe Biden was a candidate for presidency of the United States, Joe Biden was extraordinarily critical of Mohammed bin Salman, who is the heir apparent over in Saudi Arabia and the de facto ruler of the country. He was suggesting that he was a mass human rights violator, that he had killed Khashoggi, Jamal Khashoggi, who is a pseudo-journalist, member of the Muslim Brotherhood, who had written for various American outlets. And this meant that the United States had to take a very harsh, tactical look at our alliance with Saudi Arabia, up to and including giving the green light to the Houthis in Yemen, an Iranian proxy group, by delisting them as a terror group. And then it turns out that reality intervened. And the Houthis, as it turns out, hate the United States more than they hate the Saudis. It turns out that the Saudis have control over oil supply. And Joe Biden had to go on bended knee to Mohammed bin Salman and do the thing. Because what you say in the Middle East does not matter nearly as much as what you do. And so Israel, without making a big statement, we are going to knock you guys back to the Stone Age, Israel simply did the thing, and they let Iran know that if, in fact, Iran decides to escalate, it will do significantly more damage to the Islamic Republic of Iran than it will do to Israel. All of this, again, was prefaced by the UN Security Council being a completely useless and garbage institution. So, of course, Israel did what it had to do, because The UN Security Council could not even bring itself to condemn Iran for a full-scale attack on another nation. Remember, it's an act of war definitionally when you fire 350 drones and missiles at another sovereign country. The UN Security Council not only did not even table a resolution condemning Iran for that attack last weekend, they allowed Iran to then lecture Israel, suggesting that, quote, Israel must be compelled to stop any further military adventurism against our interests. That is what Iran told the UN Security Council. The absolute unmitigated sheer gall of that is astonishing, considering that it's Iranian military adventurism that has led to the entire conflagration in the Middle East, from Iraq to Syria to Lebanon to the Gaza Strip to the West Bank to Yemen. That is Iranian military adventurism that has led to all that. And the UN Security Council, because again, the United Nations is effectively the Mos Eisley of international politics, a wretched hive of scum and villainy. Because of that, the UN Security Council was never even going to take up the possibility of condemning Iran. They did, however, take up the possibility in the last 48 hours of a resolution to unilaterally declare Palestinian statehood, which would be an incredibly audacious and stupid move considering there is no actual government for a Palestinian state. The Gaza Strip is currently governed by Hamas, a terror group that is in an existential war with the state of Israel. The Palestinian Authority has so little control over the West Bank that there is open warfare between Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and the Palestinian Authority. You may as well simply declare a state of unicorn land in a random part of the earth that has no government as declare a Palestinian state, except unicorn land presumably would not necessarily turn into a terror state, whereas a Palestinian state already has turned into a terror state and remains as such. In any case, Israel decided that it was going to do what it had to do and restore the status quo ante before October 7th. And that is really what we are headed toward. Remember, October 7th was launched specifically with the green light of Iran in order to scuttle the burgeoning Israeli-Saudi peace deal. That is what was happening. Israel and Saudi Arabia were establishing a regional alliance in terms of defense to deter Iran and its proxies in the region. And that alliance de facto included Egypt. It included Jordan. It also included a bunch of the Saudi-sponsored states like UAE and Bahrain. A variety of these states had basically formed up an alliance, and it was just really a matter of toppling that last domino in Saudi Arabia for the alliance to go full scale. And if Donald Trump had been elected, there's no doubt in my mind, and by the way, in the mind of the Israelis or the Saudis, that that deal would have gotten done. Even with Joe Biden as president, though, it appeared as though that deal was very close on the horizon. Not because Joe Biden is great at this, but because he sucks at this. And because Joe Biden had been so conciliatory toward the Iranians, the Saudis had basically gone to the Israelis and said, listen, we need to make a deal with you now because we don't trust the Americans. We don't trust that Joe Biden is going to come to our defense if, in fact, Iran attacks us. So let's form up a regional alliance against Iran. And that was really, really close to happening. In fact, Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, had spoken openly about it at the United Nations. Iran saw that. Iran activated Hamas to go into Israel and kill 1,200 people and take 250 hostages back to the Gaza Strip in the hopes that this would start a conflagration that would burn down the possibility of a Sunni-Israeli deal. Well, it appears that the status quo ante is now being reinforced. Why? Because Israel has actually preserved its own ability to deter and militarily destroy its enemies. The whole reason for a Saudi peace deal with the Israelis is not because Israel and Saudi Arabia see eye to eye on matters of religion. Obviously, they do not. The reason for that is because Saudi looks at Israel and they say Israel is capable of deterring Iran. Israel is capable of destroying its enemies on the battlefront. Israel is an extraordinarily powerful and innovative military machine. And we want to be allied with that. And so what Hamas did by striking at Israel was to dent that perception in the Saudis. Israel has reinforced the perception, the prior perception, in the aftermath by its successful military action in the Gaza Strip, which is why they are now going to go in and finish off Rafah in the south of the Gaza Strip. And the last 2 weeks have shown that Israel not only is capable with its allies of repelling a mass Iranian attack, but also that Israel can strike pretty much where it wants to in Iran. And so Iran had better not escalate because it'll be worse for Iran than it will be for Israel. And Saudi, of course, wants to sign on to that. That is the matter. In other words, what Israel just did in Iran is actually de-escalatory. If Israel wanted to escalate with Iran, certainly they could have. They could have done that mass attack on their nuclear facilities, for example. Or they could have tried to kill members of the regime in Tehran because they can hit anywhere in Iran, apparently. They didn't do that, which is why it's so amazing to watch as the media continue to know nothing about the Middle East and yet report on it as though they do. So, for example, NBC News reporter Matt Bradley suggests that Israel's strike against Iran may have been destabilizing. It's the opposite. If Israel had not actually retaliated against a mass missile and drone attack against its own territory, That would have been radically destabilizing because then Iran would have sensed weakness and would have gone forward with, for example, activating Hezbollah in Israel's north. But here are your typical journalistic idiots completely missing the point.
This could be a deeply, deeply destabilizing move by the Israelis. And again, not just for the Iranians, but for the entire region. And it could even draw in the United States. The United States has said that they are committed to defending Israel's security. Well, I spoke with the deputy chief of Hezbollah just today. He said that they are committed to defending against, Israeli attacks against Hamas and the Gaza Strip and against civilians there. So they are ready and willing to fight. We're hearing a lot of bellicose language from a lot of different groups. So this is a very, very dangerous situation.
Wait, you mean everybody is bellicose in their language in the Middle East? This goes back to my point. Everyone is always bellicose in their language in the Middle East. If you ever go to a shuk, like a market, any market in the Middle East, Arab country, Jewish country, doesn't matter. The shuk is what the Middle East is. And it's people yelling at each other very loudly in order to quietly negotiate a price on a pack of dates. That's effectively what the Middle East is in a nutshell. And when it comes to what they are willing to do, it's a very different story. There's a reason Hezbollah has not gone all out against the state of Israel. They could at any time. And they have 200,000 rockets pointed at Israel, including 50,000 rockets sophisticated enough to hit actual targets. The reason they're not going all out is because the minute they do, Israel will unleash its F-16s as well as its F-35s, and there will be no Hezbollah in southern Lebanon anymore. Because that actually will be an existential battle for Israel involving the possibility of tens of thousands of Israeli deaths, and Israel is not going to go quite as nice as they have in the Gaza Strip. And yes, they've been going pretty nice in the Gaza Strip, considering that they've sent about 300 of their own soldiers into position to die, going house to house to preserve civilian life in the Gaza Strip. That will not be the case when you're talking about the necessity for a fast takeout of vast rocket capacity in southern Lebanon. In any case, the United States is starting to get the picture. Tony Blinken, of course, is a smarter person than Joe Biden, but who isn't? Tony Blinken at least has three functioning neurons as opposed to Joe Biden, who has two. He is declining to say whether the United States had received advance warning of Israel's strike. Clearly, the United States did. There's good information that the United States knew 24 to 48 hours in advance of this attack. In fact, there's pretty good evidence that the Iranians knew something was coming because they had pulled, apparently, some of their IRGC activists out of Syria and out of Lebanon in anticipation of Israeli attacks. Also, they had shelved a few of their naval assets because they were afraid that Israel was going to hit their navy, their rinky-dink navy. Anthony Blinken said, I'm not going to speak to that, except to say the United States has not been involved in any offensive operations. He said, all I can say is that for our part and for the entire G7, our focus has been on de-escalation and avoiding the larger conflict. Okay, well, now, because reality is setting in, even the United States is starting to act under Joe Biden like, a more rational actor. Because here is what has actually happened here. Israel will, in the next 6 weeks, take out the last vestiges of Hamas's military organization in Rafah. It's not going to end Hamas's threat in the Gaza Strip. Obviously, the biggest problem in the Gaza Strip is that any sort of denazification policy that takes place in the Gaza Strip is going to have some pretty steep obstacles to it, considering the level of love of the population for Hamas. And this is not an ISIS situation in which you have a terror group that simply seizes control of the territory. This was an elected group. Hamas is, by polling data, still the most popular group of all the groups in the Gaza Strip as well as in the West Bank. With that said, Israel will establish effective military control of the Gaza Strip, which means there will be no more offensive threat to the state of Israel from the Gaza Strip. Israel will have negated Iran's direct attack willingness, which is what last night was all about. And eventually, after Israel signs some sort of deal with the Saudis, then there will be a move on Hezbollah in the north unless Hezbollah pulls back. We'll get to more on that in just a second, but first,
you can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Already coming up, Joe Biden is finally starting to approach reality with regards to the Middle East. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
At Attention all gardening enthusiasts. It's time to celebrate 50 years of greenery and growth at Gold Leaf Nursery in Reading. That's right, folks. For almost a half a century, Gold Leaf Nursery has been your go-to destination for all things garden-related. And to mark this incredible milestone, they're throwing the biggest sale this year. The nursery is blooming with vibrant perennials and annuals, hardy shrubs, succulents, and majestic trees, vegetables, herbs, roses, ground coverings, along with 1 gallon or larger and all bag soil amendments. Their extensive selection ensures that there's something for every taste and style. And don't forget about their premium selection of statuaries, fountains, and bird baths to add that perfect finishing touch. At Gold Leaf Nursery, they're not just about selling plants. They're about cultivating joy, creating memories, and nurturing connections with nature. Come visit them today and let them help turn your outdoor space into a sanctuary you'll love coming home to. Thanks for voting Gold Leaf Nursery best in the North State. Come check them out on Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road. Open Tuesday through Saturday.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact. B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
5. Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden seems to have been cudgeled into reality, at least a little bit in the Middle East. Joe Biden is finally signing into the chat on this. Now, again, all of this could have happened literally the day after he took office. All Joe Biden had to do, this is why he's such a fool, all the presidents of the United States had to do when he took office was this. Go to the Saudis. Say, listen, we want you to enter the Abraham Accords. All that requires of you is to make a mutual defense pact in some form or fashion with the state of Israel and normalize, and we will help subsidize that and sponsor that, and it will create a really solid ring of fire around Iran. That could have been done day one. That's what Donald Trump would have done. He's openly said that. Joe Biden didn't do that. Instead, he decided to orient himself against the Saudis and orient himself, like Barack Obama before him, in favor of Iran as a regional power, which is totally insane. Well, now, again, reality is setting in. So, according to the Wall Street Journal, the Biden administration is considering more than $1 billion in new weapons deals for Israel, including tank ammo, military vehicles, and mortar rounds, at a time of heightened scrutiny of the use of American-made weapons in the war in Gaza. But let's be real about this. If you want less death in this particular region of the world, Israel needs to win and win quickly. Prolonged wars in the Middle East cost hundreds of thousands of lives. Short wars in the Middle East kill fewer people, and usually the right side ends up winning in quick wars in the Middle East. The proposed weapons transfers would be among the largest to Israel since it invaded Gaza in response to the Hamas October 7th attack. The sales would also be the first since Iran launched an unprecedented direct missile and drone attack on Israel just last weekend in retaliation for the killing of a top Iranian general in Syria. The top Iranian general in Syria, of course, was the organizer, one of them, of the October 7th attacks in Israel. So what is happening here? The United States is recognizing reality, which is that Iran is the head of the octopus in the Middle East, that their terror proxies have been spreading violence and evil throughout the region, and that Israel and Sunni allies should team up together. So Joe Biden is facilitating that now, which is what he should have been doing all along. Just took him too long to get here, which is why, this is an amazing story. So according to the Wall Street Journal, the White House is making a fresh push for a historic deal to forge Saudi-Israeli ties. Now, the part about this that is truly amazing is that, again, this should not be a hard push. The Saudis want to make a peace deal. How bad do the Saudis want to make a peace deal? They want a deal with Israel worse than the Biden administration does. How do I know? The Biden administration, because they cannot let go of the absolutely asinine, imbecilic idea that the central conflict in the Middle East is Israel versus the Palestinians. They cannot let go of it. And because they can't let go of it, the United States is trying to cram down on the Saudis a demand for a Palestinian state. You know what the Saudis don't give two good gosh darns about? That. They don't care about it at all. Like, zero. In fact, the Saudis don't want a Palestinian state. You know why they don't want it? Because it will be a terror state, as everyone with half a brain knows. You know who else doesn't want a Palestinian state, by the way? The Hashemite dynasty of Jordan. They tried out Queen Rania, who is ethnically Palestinian, to talk about the horrors that the Israelis are unleashing upon the Palestinians. There's only one problem. She's a member of the Hashemite dynasty. 70% of the population of Jordan is Palestinian. You know who doesn't want a Palestinian state? The Jordanian government. Because were there to be a Palestinian state, you know what would happen next? It would turn into a giant terror state. And Queen Rania's head, as well as those of the rest of her families, would be on the top of pikes. Everyone knows this in the Middle East. This is not some sort of speculative game. In any case, this is it's so incredible. The Saudis are more willing to make a deal with the Israelis than the Biden administration is. Here's the Wall Street Journal, quote, "The Biden administration is pushing for a long-shot diplomatic deal in coming months." It's not a long-shot diplomatic deal. I know the press is going to try and play this up, so if it occurs, then it'll be like, wow, Biden pulled a rabbit out of the hat. This rabbit was in the hat from day one of the administration. Donald Trump would have pulled it out the first day. "The Biden administration is pushing for a long-shot diplomatic deal in coming months that presses Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to accept a new commitment to Palestinian statehood in exchange for diplomatic recognition by Riyadh," U.S. and Saudi officials said. "As inducements to recognize Israel, the White House is offering Riyadh a more formal defense relationship with Washington, assistance in acquiring civil nuclear power, and a renewed push for a Palestinian state, a package the U.S. officials say they are in the final stages of negotiating. U.S. officials say the successful multi-country effort to shoot down Iranian missiles and drones on Saturday should make it clear to Israel its security against threats from Tehran can be enhanced through closer integration with Saudi Arabia." So first of all, Israel knows that, which is why they've been covertly working with the Saudis for legitimately probably a couple of decades at this point. "For President Biden, the gambit offers the chance of a significant diplomatic breakthrough in the middle of a presidential campaign year, one that would expand the Abraham Accords his Republican opponent Donald Trump sealed when he was in office." Now, here's the best part of this article. So you notice those conditions, right? The conditions were that the United States would help subsidize more of a defense relationship with the Saudis. They would push for civil nuclear power, which, again, is the predicate to a Saudi nuclear program in all likelihood. And Palestinian statehood. And Palestinian statehood is the sort of breaking point for the Israeli government. Why? Because no one in Israel wants a Palestinian state. But here's the thing. Neither do the Saudis. The only people in this entire equation pushing a Palestinian state are, wait for it, Joe Biden and his dullards. How do I know that? Because buried deep in this article is the following paragraph. It's an amazing paragraph. Ready? Here we go. "Saudi Arabia's leaders have said for decades that a Palestinian state is a priority. And as top diplomats have said, creating a path to a two-state solution is part of their price for normalization. Now, Saudi officials have privately indicated to the U.S. they might accept verbal assurances from Israel that it would engage in new talks on Palestinian statehood to secure the other parts of the deal of more interest to Riyadh," Saudi officials said. Okay, so that's diplomatic speak for we don't give two sh** about the Palestinian state. That is what that means. You know how I know that? Let me read that sentence again, because it's amazing. They say, oh, man, this is such an important priority. We need a Palestinian state. Quote, "Saudi officials have privately indicated they might accept verbal assurances from Israel that it would engage in new talks on Palestinian statehood to secure the other parts of the deal they care about." Okay, that is what would be a contingency upon a contingency. Alrighty, coming up, we'll get into what it really means that the Saudis are fine with a verbal deal on a Palestinian state for a negotiation, which is an agreement to agree to agree verbally. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
April, so you know what that means. Hot cars! And cool April nights is back, April 19th to the 28th. It's going to be bigger than ever, so mark your calendar for 10 days of classic car fun. This year has more show and shine, a drive-in movie, cornhole tournament with $1,000 in prizes. Don't forget to dust off your lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday, April 26th. End the week by coming to the biggest show and shine of them all at the Civic Auditorium on Saturday, April 27th. There will be 2,000 classic cars on display, tons of great food, a variety of vendors, and lots of chances to win prizes at our annual Poker Walk or Raffle City. Get your tickets today at any of the 8 local Napa Auto Parts stores to avoid the line. Cool April Nights returns April 19th to the 28th, so mark your calendars. For a full schedule of events, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com.
Hello, this is Roland from the Flag Center. Are you thinking about a new flagpole for Memorial Day or 4th of July? Well, now is a good time. Currently, our high-quality Titan telescoping poles are on sale at prices too low to advertise. These beautiful silver or dark bronze poles are backed by a lifetime warranty and wind rated at 95 miles per hour. The Flag Center, 2124 Hilltop Drive, since 1982.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, I'm Adam Ryan, presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those individuals that are interested in serving on the Shasta County Grand Jury. To apply or get more information, please visit our website at ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
The Shasta County Grand Jury application deadline has been extended to April 24th. To apply or to get details, visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org. Don't delay. Get your application in now.
Please apply now.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Saudis are saying that they want a peace deal with the Israelis. All they require is a verbal agreement to talk about the Palestinian situation, which amounts to a verbal agreement to agree to possibly agree, which means they don't want a Palestinian state. This is all silly. So they're saying that if Israel signs a formal deal with Saudi and the United States that allows for normalization and further defense funding of the Saudis and civil nuclear power and all the rest, that they will accept a handshake verbal deal to have a future discussion about a Palestinian state in return for that. Now, I have a question. You've signed contracts. We've all signed contracts. When you sign a really important contract, like a super important contract, have you ever said the most important part of this deal is the stuff that we don't include in the agreement? Have you ever done that? If so, you need a better lawyer, because that's not how this stuff works. If I were to negotiate an agreement with you, and that agreement were to include an incredibly important term, like the most important term, something I've been talking about for decades, and then at the last minute I were to say to you, listen, I don't even need you to write it down. I just need you to say out loud that you want to engage in discussions about this thing 2 years from now. Am I very serious about that particular term? The answer is no. As always, the Saudis do not care about a Palestinian state. They do not want a Palestinian state. By the way, you know who else doesn't want a Palestinian state? The Egyptians. Literally no one wants a Palestinian state in this region except for Iran. And the absolute, again, I'm running out of synonyms for morons, but anyone who is low IQ enough to believe that a Palestinian state solves the problems in the Middle East rather than creating vast new problems in the Middle East knows literally nothing about the Palestinian population, the history of the region, what the Palestinians have done to literally every state they have moved to, including Lebanon, which used to be a Christian Maronite state. Beirut was the Paris of the Middle East when Christians were running it. And then it turns out the Palestinian Liberation Organization moved there after Black September and completely wrecked the place. No one, you want to know why Egypt is not allowing in Palestinian refugees from the Gaza Strip? Because they don't want them there. I know everybody pretends that the Palestinians are, it's only the Israelis. Oh my God, it's only Israel. In the aftermath of the Gulf War in 1991, Kuwait had something like 200,000 to 300,000 Palestinians living in Kuwait. They all sided with Saddam Hussein. And you know what Kuwait did? They forced them out. You know who doesn't want a Palestinian state? Anyone with half a brain in the region, because a Palestinian state will be an Iranian terror proxy. Everyone knows this, except for the Biden administration, apparently. But a U.S. brokered deal might also aid Israel with a potential exit strategy from the Gaza Strip, according to the Saudis. Several potential Arab contributors said they wouldn't consider participating without public moves by Israel toward establishment of a Palestinian state. Okay. That's nonsense. Israel's going to say some words, and then everybody's going to shake hands, and that's how it's going to go. All this requires is for the Biden administration to get out of the way. That is all. And then you could have, you know, strong allies like the Saudis and the Egyptians and the Israelis as a bulwark against Iranian revanchism. That would be a very, very good thing. In fact, foreign policy is turning out to be the alignment of interest in foreign policy right now is actually quite fortuitous for the United States, not just because Iranian aggression in the Middle East has created the possibility of a Middle East peaceful breakout, but also because all over the world, America's enemies who are on the march are forcing other countries into making a decision between whether they wish to march with America's enemies or march with America, which is why over the last 48 hours, my favorite world leader and recent interview subject, Javier Milei, has repeatedly said that he now wants to become a global partner in NATO, which is good. Okay, having more open, overt, Western-aligned powers in the world, like Argentina, would be a very good thing. Latin America used to be a bulwark of Westernism. That's what the Monroe Doctrine was. It was basically the European powers don't get to be involved in South America. That obviously has not been true for a while. The Russians are very much involved, and so are the Chinese in South America. And so now, South and Latin America is split between a group of libertarian-minded fixers like Javier Milei in Argentina or Bukele in El Salvador, and between actual radical Marxists like Maduro in Venezuela. And the question is which way Latin America is going to go. The more allies the United States has, the better. That would be a very good thing. People are seeking American leadership. People want to align with America and not with Russia and not with China, both fading powers. All that requires is a little bit of American leadership and a little bit of American strength. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, We're going to get to more of this in just 1 second. First, I wanted to let you know, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Michael Knowles tell you about his show.
Hey, Michael Knowles here. As you might expect, I am the host of The Michael Knowles Show. Conservative pessimists say the world can't get any worse. Conservative optimists say it certainly can. Luckily, there is hope and a whole lot of fun to be had at the left's expense. Come check out The Michael Knowles Show at The Daily Wire. You can listen to the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or Facebook. It is all over the place. You can watch the full show ad-free on DailyWire.com. And don't miss exclusive videos we make on my YouTube channel, such as my woke commercial reviews and the Chaz Funniest Home Videos. We break down everything from Drag Queen Story Hour to the Paris Climate Agreement. So come on over and check out The Michael Knowles Show wherever you get your podcasts. Every Monday through Friday. See you there.
You know, I pretend that I really hate Michael, but it really, it's not hatred. It's more just a strong and intense dislike. You heard it here first, gang. Make sure to check out The Michael Knowles Show. So, with all of this happening, you got the Biden administration, which is totally incapable of world leadership. And meanwhile, you have a Congress that is busy farting around. I mean that absolutely literally. Let me explain. There is a thing that has now been declared. I am not kidding you about this. The Freedom Caucus, which is sort of the more extreme right-wing caucus in the Republican Party. It includes a bunch of people I like and some people who I think are, frankly, clowns. The Freedom Caucus is trying to uphold the stupid rule that I've been railing against for weeks at this point that requires that the Speaker of the House be allowed to be essentially ousted after the call of a vote by a single member of the Republican Party. So there can be a motion to vacate the chair by any member of the Republican Party. This is the game that Marjorie Taylor Greene is playing. It's the game that Matt Gaetz played against Kevin McCarthy and all the rest. Well, now Mike Johnson is looking at the possibility of fixing that so that you can't have three members of the Republican caucus who oust the Speaker of the House, as opposed to the other 215 Republicans who don't want to do it. So the Freedom Caucus has decided that they are going to stand up for their right, apparently, to continue to hold the Speaker of the House hostage in some form or fashion. They have now created what they call the Freedom Caucus Floor Action Response Team. The shorthand is FART. I'm not kidding you. I mean, just genius level stuff here, guys. Like, just branding genius. So I'm glad that you created the Freedom Caucus FART click. Their job is to guard against an unannounced request to pass resolutions that would stealthily limit their leverage against leadership, according to two Republicans with direct knowledge, who were granted anonymity to speak candidly. Members don't want to be caught flat-footed if a GOP colleague tries to seek unanimous consent or a voice vote for a resolution that would change the House's structure. So if Mike Johnson tries to call a vote that gets rid of this dumb motion to vacate rule, then the FART team will jump into action. The FART team will explode into action. The FART team will let loose with the stink of truth. This is all so deeply stupid. And all of this is because, again, there's a group of Republicans who actually want to prevent governance, who have an interest, apparently, in a Republican minority. Some of this battle broke out into the open yesterday during a apparently rather colorful conversation between a Wisconsin freshman named Representative Derek Van Orden, who confronted Florida Republican Matt Gaetz and called him Tubby. Things are going great. The confrontation occurred as a group of GOP hardliners, according to the Journal Sentinel, including Gaetz, Representative Lauren Boebert, who loves Beetlejuice and getting felt up at Beetlejuice, and Tennessee Representative Tim Burchett, huddled around Mike Johnson to voice their displeasure with his plan to put a $95 billion package of foreign aid bills to a vote this weekend. Now, remember, what Mike Johnson is doing is he's putting up each of these bills as a separate piece of legislation. If they garner majority support, they will then be packaged back together and sent on to the Senate. A majority of Republicans will likely vote in favor of each one of these bills. But this makes Matt Gaetz very, very mad. And so he apparently was going after Mike Johnson on the floor. And Van Orden said, fine, you want to oust the Speaker, do it. Like, you keep threatening to do it, do it. He said they've been trying to blackmail the Republican conference now for a long time. Just do it. Show the American people who you really are. The American people can't see really what takes place all the time. What they can see is a motion to vacate. It'll show their true colors. They're not here to legislate. They're not serious legislators. Gaetz then called Van Orden a squish. So Van Orden called Matt Gaetz Tubby. Things are going well. Van Orden, who's a retired Navy SEAL, said, I said people who have not been to combat and been shot at, who have not held one of their friends' hands if they died, probably shouldn't be calling other people squishes. And then he did it again. And I said something along the lines of, stow it, tubby. Okay? And here's Matt Gaetz then, sounding off to the media, as he loves to do, Lauren Boebert in his wake.
I think a motion to vacate is something that could put the conference in peril. And Ms. Boebert and I were working to avoid that. Our goal is to avoid a motion to vacate, but we are not going to surrender that accountability tool, particularly in a time when we're seeing America's interests subjugated to foreign interests abroad.
And explain what was going on with Mr. Van Orden.
He kept demanding that we file a motion to vacate and demanding that we do it in a privileged way.
And what does that mean? I mean, does it surprise you in this climate that people might be saying that? And we've heard this from Mr. Massey. We've heard this from Ms. Green.
The only thing I gleaned from it is that Mr. Van Orden is not a particularly intelligent individual.
What did you spoke to the speaker. What was that conversation like?
Tense.
Why?
Because we don't want to pass this bill. We do not. Look, the only win we've got in the House of Representatives is blocking the Senate supplemental. And so if he's ready to throw in the towel on that, what are we doing here?
What are you doing here? I mean, the answer is that you challenged one speaker for no apparent reason in Kevin McCarthy. And now you are holding the motion to vacate over Johnson's head so as to, what, hold up a vote that a majority of Republicans are going to vote for? And I'm going to point out, as I did yesterday, that when it comes to this foreign aid package, it's too big. There's a bunch of stuff I don't like in it. Also, it is worth noting at this point that that foreign aid package is in fact necessary. Israel is in the middle of an existential war with a variety of opponents in the Middle East, all sponsored by Iran. Ukraine is in the middle of an existential war with Russia. And Donald Trump put out a statement yesterday suggesting that the European allies need to give more money to help Ukraine. He said, why isn't Europe giving more money to help Ukraine? Why is it the United States is over $100 billion into the Ukraine war more than Europe? And we have an ocean between us as a separation. Why can't Europe equalize or match the money put in by the United States in order to help a country in desperate need? Now, as I pointed out, I'm supporting President Trump. This happens to be factually wrong. The fact is that the European Union and their 27 member states have agreed to commit at least $54 billion more dollars on 1 February 2024 as part of their new Ukraine facility. Their commitments to date are over $155 billion. $155 billion. The United States has not given $155 billion. This includes, by the way, over $51 billion in financial and budgetary support and in humanitarian and emergency assistance. It includes $36 billion in military assistance and increasing, ranging from ammo to air defense systems. That includes $11.5 billion from the European Peace Facility, in addition to $25 billion in bilateral contributions from member states. It also includes $18 billion from the EU budget to support Ukrainian refugees who have fled into Europe. So again, the basic idea, which is that the EU has not been stepping up, that's not true. Donald Trump successfully forced the EU countries to step up with regard to their defense commitments with regard to NATO. And the EU has, in fact, been stepping up with regard to the amount of aid provided to Ukraine. The real question, as I keep asking for Matt Gaetz and for Lauren Boebert and for Thomas Massey and for everyone else, is how is it in America's interest for Russia to stroll into Kyiv? And if it is not, what level of support do you think would be necessary in order to prevent that? Because the answer is not zero. The same thing holds true in the Middle East. How is it in America's interest for Iran to continue to gain regional power? This is the point that Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, was making yesterday. Here he goes.
Why are you willing to risk losing your job over this Ukraine funding?
Listen, my philosophy is you do the right thing and you let the chips fall where they may. Look, history judges us for what we do. This is a critical time right now, a critical time on the world stage.
He is not wrong about all of that. And again, posturing ain't going to do it, guys. It ain't going to do it. If you want to do what, for example, Chip Roy has done in the past and issue a list of specific gets that you want from Mike Johnson, and then we can see whether those are gets that are gettable, that's something that's useful. But if you're just going to rail against the wind and then just randomly shout motion to vacate, those rules need to change, and they need to change forthwith. Already coming up, Ilhan Omar's daughter, well, she just got suspended from Barnard College because the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. This is Ben Shapiro Show.
At Black Bear Diner, sandwich stacks are here, and they're tall on irresistible flavors. Indulge in a double bacon stack, hand-breaded crispy chicken stack, a tri-tip cheddar stack, or a crispy cod stack. There's a stack for everyone. Get yours today at Black Bear Diner. Now available for limited time. Served all day, every day. In Reading on Hilltop Drive, order one now at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Ilhan Omar's daughter, the apple doesn't fall far from the anti-Semitic tree. Ilhan Omar's daughter has apparently now been suspended from Barnard College for her involvement in pro-Hamas protests, according to the New York Post. Her daughter, Isra Hirsi, revealed Thursday she's been suspended from Barnard College over her involvement in disruptive anti-Israel protests on Columbia University's Morningside campus, at which scores of demonstrators were arrested. They had set up a bunch of tents, basically, in the middle of the Columbia campus, who sort of like Occupy Columbia, in order to say that they hate Israel. The 21-year-old wrote, "I just received notice. I am one of three students suspended for standing in solidarity with Palestinians facing a genocide." Well, I doubt that that's really what it was about, since most Columbia students are far to the left on this. Hirsi was one of more than 100 protesters hauled away in cuffs by the NYPD Thursday afternoon after they erected a tent city on the campus of the $90,000 per year Ivy League school. By late Thursday afternoon, the protests had dispersed. Cleaning crews were brought in to disassemble and remove dozens of tents that littered the campus. Hirsi has spent much of her life attending demonstrations. Apparently, she attended her first protest at the age of 6. At 12, she joined a Black Lives Matter protest, forcing the Mall of America to shut down. And then they received, she and two other students, notice of their suspension from the Barnard dean. Apparently, the dean's statement said, "The decision is based on information related to the Columbia University public safety. You've been involved in an unauthorized encampment on the Columbia University campus. You've not ceased participation in this unauthorized encampment." Well, that, of course, is correct. She is just as anti-American and anti-Israel as her mom is. But it's good to see campuses actually starting to demonstrate at least a little bit of fealty to basic concepts of order. That would be good. A rare shout out to a legacy media figure today. Jake Tapper over at CNN actually did something good on his show a couple of days ago. So there's been a lot of coverage of a terrorist named Waleed Daqqa, who had died in Israeli prison. And he was portrayed by the media as some sort of a victim of Israeli aggression. Jake Tapper fully dismissed that. And that, of course, is good for him.
Amnesty International had called for Daqqa, who was in his 60s, to be released on humanitarian grounds after he was diagnosed with bone marrow cancer in 2022. Amnesty issued a statement saying, quote, death in custody of Waleed Daqqa is a cruel reminder of Israel's disregard for Palestinians' right to life. It's an interesting turn of phrase there, a disregard for Palestinians' right to life. Much of the news media coverage of Waleed Daqqa's death after his 38 years in prison was along these lines. Many stories barely, if at all, even mentioned why Waleed Daqqa was in the Israeli prison to begin with. He was in prison because he was part of a militant group that killed this 19-year-old, Moshe Tamam. It is heart-wrenching that Waleed Daqqa has died in Israeli custody, said Amnesty International. Heart-wrenching? I ask this sincerely. Does it wrench the heart of anyone at Amnesty International that 19-year-old Moshe Tamam was murdered? Anyone?
By the way, Moshe Tamam wasn't just murdered. He was mutilated before his murder by Waleed Daqqa. But that, again, is how the media have treated the Middle East historically. Good for Jake Tapper for disabusing people of that notion. Meanwhile, Joe Biden continues to stumble around aimlessly. So we played yesterday a clip of Joe Biden explaining that his uncle was once eaten by cannibals, which was a thing he actually said, because our president is no longer with us and has not been for quite a while. Yesterday, the White House was forced to admit that actually, in fact, Joe Biden's uncle was not eaten by cannibals. It was a little bit awkward.
We just see the cannibal tab in your book.
There's no cannibal tab. What are you talking about? Is that what you're asking me about?
Can you finish it?
Yeah. Okay, look, I'll just, and I think we shared this with some of you, so I'm just going to kind of repeat. Look, you saw the president. He was incredibly proud of his uncle's service in uniform. You saw him at the war memorial. It was incredibly emotional and important to him. You saw him respond to all of you when asked about the moment yesterday. And his uncle, who lost his life when the military aircraft he was on crashed in the Pacific after taking off near New Guinea. The president highlighted his uncle's story as he made the case for honoring our sacred commitment to equip those we send to war and to take care of them and their families when they come home. And as he reiterated that the last thing American veterans are suckers or losers, and he wanted to make that clear. He wanted to make
the story.
I mean, look, I don't have anything beyond about what I just laid out, but it was a really proud moment for him.
It was a proud moment when his uncle was eaten by cannibals. That was a proud moment that didn't happen. I just love that Joe Biden's stories are, as I've said before, one of my favorite things.
That's when my uncle, he was, we used to call him uncle, and he was he'd fly in World War II, and his plane went down, and suddenly a bunch of native savages jumped out of the bushes, and they started chomping on his legs. And he said, whoa there, bucko.
You know things are going well when the Biden campaign has to run an ad. They literally did this. They ran an ad saying that he is not mentally unfit. Joe Biden, not mentally unfit, 2024. Even CNN was like, guys, this is not good.
I just want you and our viewers to see a brand new ad from the Biden campaign. And the name of the ad is Sharp.
I'd love to tell the story about meeting President Biden, because when you meet him, this guy's as sharp as a knife. They have nothing else to attack, because they can't attack the things that he's doing that are so good for this country. Joe Biden gets things done. That's just who he is.
I mean, that says it all. Again, that is from the Biden campaign, and the name of the ad is Sharp.
Yeah, man. This campaign is not going well for Joseph Robinette Biden. Things are bad.
This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens.
Following Iran's massive drone and missile attack on Israel last weekend, House Majority Leader Steve Scalise says the United States must stand in solidarity with the Jewish state.
Our friends around the world are counting on us to have their back, you know, and especially a country like Israel, who's always under attack. They can take care of themselves, but they need our support and help because there are other countries in the world that want to undermine Israel.
Scalise was interviewed on Salem News Program This Week on the Hill, heard on many of these stations this weekend. Some Tesla vehicles are being recalled.
The recall involves about 3,900 2024 Cybertrucks. Tesla says the accelerator pedal can become stuck, potentially causing the vehicle to accelerate unintentionally, increasing the risk of a crash. According to a filing with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, the accelerator pedal pad may dislodge and become trapped by the interior trim. Tesla is not aware of any collisions, injuries, or deaths related to the issue. Owners need to contact Tesla. The company says it will replace or repair the accelerator pedal assembly for free. I'm Mike Hempen.
Supreme Court makes it easier for workers who are transferred from one job to another against their will to pursue job discrimination claims under federal civil rights law.
The individuals can seek the claims even when they are not demoted or docked pay. Justice Elena Kagan wrote for the court that workers only have to show that the transfer resulted in some but not necessarily significant harm to prove their claims. The justices unanimously revived a sex discrimination lawsuit filed by a St. Louis police sergeant after she was forcibly transferred but retained her rank and pay.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. More on these stories at townhall.com.
It's been confirmed. Those brave Americans who are trying to preserve free speech continue to be censored, shadow banned, or silenced. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to share the liberating ideas of some of America's brightest and most free thinkers. People like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry, whose ideas are putting financial control back in the hands of everyday people, helping them protect their money against a government that seems intent on destroying it. Text TRUTH to 76626 to find out more. As this election moves forward, we just released a report that reveals our three favorite ideas for protecting and growing your wealth during the 2024 election. These ideas are especially critical if you have an IRA or 401k. Text TRUTH to 76626. Discover ideas that are so simple and actionable they might save your retirement. Text TRUTH to 76626 now for your free report. That's TRUTH to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply.
Two airplanes nearly missed each other at Reagan National Airport near Washington, D.C.
A JetBlue flight was beginning to take off in Arlington, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., when an air traffic controller instructed a Southwest flight to cross the same runway. Southwest Airlines Flight 2937, which was bound for Orlando, Florida, later took off from the airport at 7:47 a.m., and the JetBlue Flight 1554, bound for Boston, took off from Reagan at 1:48 p.m. JetBlue said in a statement that no injuries were reported, and both airlines said they're working with officials to investigate the incident further. Hiya Pinjwani, Washington.
An attorney wants a federal court to overturn a Florida law that she says discriminates against Chinese citizens by barring their purchase of real estate in much of the state. Ashley Gorski represented four Chinese nationals before the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals on Friday. News and analysis at townhall.com. The Dow was up Friday, but the other two market indexes were not as fortunate, with tech stocks in particular taking a tumble.
The worst week for big technology stocks since the COVID crash in 2020 dragged Wall Street across the finish line of another losing week. The S&P 500 fell 0.9% Friday to close out its third straight losing week. The Nasdaq tumbled 2%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was an outlier and rose 0.6%. Supermicro Computer lost more than a fifth of its value. NVIDIA was the single heaviest weight on the S&P 500. Helping to limit the market's losses was American Express, which rose after reporting stronger than expected profit for its latest quarter. Fifth Third Bancorp also rose after it likewise topped expectations. Damian Troisi, New York.
New Jersey lawmakers considering a proposal to establish a stand-your-ground law that would expand the use of force when acting in self-defense. The Republican-backed proposal is expected to fail the Democrat-controlled legislature. More on these stories at townhall.com.
It's April, so you know what that means.
hot cars, and cool April nights is back April 19th to the 28th. It's going to be bigger than ever, so mark your calendar for 10 days of classic car fun. This year has more show and shine, a drive-in movie, cornhole tournament with $1,000 in prizes. Don't forget to dust off your lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday, April 26th. End the week by coming to the biggest show and shine of them all at the Civic Auditorium on Saturday, April 27th. There will be 2,000 classic cars on display, tons of great food, a variety of vendors, and lots of chances to win prizes at our annual Poker Walk or Raffle City. Get your tickets today at any of the 8 local Napa Auto Parts stores to avoid the line. Cool April Nights returns April 19th to the 28th, so mark your calendar. For a full schedule of events, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Being Speaker of the House with an extraordinarily slim majority is a really tough job. What it means is that you have to cut deals because you literally have no other ability to get anything done. Because given the fact that right now there is what is called a one-vote motion to vacate rule that is in place in the House of Representatives, that means any one member of the Republican caucus can challenge the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson's job, at literally any given time. It also means that if you have a bunch of headline-grabbing people in the Republican caucus who are more interested in going on TV than in actually governing or in maintaining a majority or in growing that majority to actually get big things done, well, that can hold up the works. All this is coming to a head because Speaker Mike Johnson has now put forward a series of bills related to foreign aid. Now, let me talk about foreign aid for just a second. Foreign aid is not the United States being wildly charitable. It is not the United States randomly deciding to drop goodie bags in poor parts of the world. We're not talking about simply sending food to Somalia or something. When it comes to foreign aid, there are always strings attached. That's what makes it in America's interest to do these things. In the same way that if you are attempting to sponsor a friend in order to accomplish a particular goal, you might lend that friend money, or you might give that friend money just to get back on their feet in order to make sure that person remains a friend, an ally, is able to be strong. That is what American foreign aid does. And this has historically been the role of American foreign aid. Obviously, in the aftermath of World War II, the United States effectively single-handedly rebuilt Europe with the Marshall Plan. Now, one of the things that's been said by a lot of people on the Republican side of the aisle about foreign aid is that all foreign aid is somehow bad. All foreign aid is somehow terrible and useless and worse than useless, counterproductive, because if we're not spending it at home, we shouldn't be spending it at all. This is insanely short-sighted because there are two ways in reality that we spend our defense money. One is on actual defense, meaning like creating F-35s and F-22s and creating aircraft carriers and submarines. The other way that we provide for our national defense is by strengthening our allies. And when our allies are not strong, we have to step in and we have to take the lead. It turns out that is a lot more expensive. Allies who are unable to defend themselves lead to enemies who are able to take advantage of that, thus threatening American interests and forcing American involvement. This has happened over and over and over in American history. When our allies are not strong enough, the United States ends up taking a lead role in areas we have no interest in being. This is why it is worthwhile for the United States to provide a pittance to many countries. And when I say a pittance, I'm not talking in raw terms. Yes, some of this is a lot of money in raw terms. When you're talking about the federal budget of the United States, let us be clear. Foreign aid represents well under 1% of the federal budget nearly every year. One of the things that I've been noticing is a lot of the people who I see screaming to the heavens about the cost of foreign aid. Oh, my God, I can't believe how much this is costing. I get the feeling that you have a different set of priorities for many of you. There's some people who are consistent libertarians. There's some people who say the government shouldn't be spending on Social Security, and the government shouldn't be spending on disability, and the government shouldn't be spending on welfare, and the government should not be spending on foreign aid. That is at least a consistent position. I think it's wrongheaded because, again, I think that America's foreign policy interests require that we have strong allies who eventually will be able to take care of themselves. The goal of foreign aid, by the way, should be eventually to get other countries off our foreign aid, in the same way that the goal of welfare should presumably be to get people off welfare at a certain point. I'm fully in favor of that sort of planning. When it comes to emergency foreign aid, that is a bit of a different story. However, there are a group of people in the Republican Party who are basically taking the view that foreign aid is uniquely a bad spend, that is really where we're wasting taxpayer dollars. I don't believe you that this is about fiscal responsibility. I just don't. When you continue to vote in favor of $5, $6, $7 trillion budgets every single year. But here is where you start to pinch the pennies. I start to get a little suspicious. It's the equivalent of the husband who goes on a gambling spree, who takes all the money from the savings and blows it on random lotto tickets. And then when the wife says, you know, honey, can we go out to dinner tonight? The husband says, you know what? We got to pinch pennies now. And here's where we really got to cut back. Well, maybe the reality is that we're spending too much money in many of the wrong places. Again, if you're going to break down the federal budget, we currently spend about 22% of our federal budget every year on Social Security, which I've discussed before, is a giant Ponzi scheme. It is a Ponzi scheme because it is a defined benefits plan, not a defined contribution plan. What you pay in is not, in fact, what you get out. For most people, you get out way more from Social Security than you ever paid in. Healthcare, which is Medicare, Medicaid, that represents about 26% of the federal budget. National defense represents only 13% of the federal budget. Net interest on the debt alone, this is according to the Treasury Department. Net interest on the debt, right? How much money we're just paying other countries or paying institutions that have bought bonds, represents 11% of our budget every single year. So when you tell me that you are deeply worried about the less than 1% that we are talking about spending on foreign aid to allies in wartime, I think that maybe you have a different set of priorities. And I've been struggling to figure out exactly what that set of priorities is. What is the actual argument? Because it seems to me, again, there are principled libertarians who take the no spending argument. I get that. But there are a lot of people who are perfectly fine with spending literally trillions of dollars on wasteful nonsense, borrowing on the backs of our children and grandchildren on wasteful, counterproductive, economically illiterate nonsense. But suddenly, when it comes time to provide the aid necessary to, say, Ukraine so that it doesn't get completely overrun by Russia, or provide the aid necessary to Israel so as to deter a world war in the Middle East, suddenly they get very shy. And that suggests to me that there may be a set of ulterior motives that I don't fully understand. I'll be honest with you. I don't really understand what the motivation is for those who seem to suggest that Russia taking Ukraine is of zero interest to the United States. Russia taking Ukraine would be of rather major interest to the United States, not only because Ukraine is the third largest producer of wheat on planet Earth, but also because Ukraine is strategically placed directly on the border between Russia and Europe, which is presumably the reason why Vladimir Putin wants it. Here are a couple of maps from the Wall Street Journal, and it shows the danger, the additional danger to Eastern Europe, particularly the Baltic states, if, for example, Russia were to take Ukraine. So this first map is a map by Mitchell Belcher and Noel Mickelson and Thomas Bergeron and a bunch of other people from the Institute for the Study of War. And what it shows, for those who can't see, is the placement, the forward placement of units, allied units, in places like Ukraine, Romania, Slovakia, Hungary, and how those could be redeployed in the case of a Russian invasion along the border of Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, from Belarus, from Russia itself. And what you see is that because Ukraine's border is far from the borders of, for example, Lithuania and Latvia, it creates a massive problem for the Russian military. They would have to worry very deeply about NATO forces being deployed against Russia via Ukraine. It would free up American forces and NATO forces and in general allied forces to fight an invasion of NATO allies like Finland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. Now, here's what the map looks like if Russia actually takes Ukraine. If Russia actually takes Ukraine, suddenly, in order to, for example, defend the borders of Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, you would have to basically lower the ability to defend places like Romania, Hungary, and Slovakia. In other words, Ukraine right now is in fact fighting NATO's war. That is a reality. Ukraine is in fact weakening the Russian military and providing a bulwark against NATO states being invaded. That is the real politic, looking at maps on the ground, recognition of reality. So how is it in America's, I still am waiting to hear an argument. Why is it in America's interest for Russia to take Ukraine? I understand the argument that it's in America's interest to be realistic about the end of war goals. I've been making that case since basically 2 months into the war, the Henry Kissinger case. That is in the interest of the United States to provide enough materiel to Ukraine to realistically defend territory they currently hold and to look for an off-ramp. But if that off-ramp is not available, you have to continue funding Ukraine because if there ain't no off-ramp, there ain't no off-ramp. Vladimir Putin is recognizing that the West basically does not have the cojones to continue to even sign checks. We are not talking about Vietnam levels of commitment of American troops. We're talking about a place where America has lost zero troops. Zero. We don't even have troops on the ground in fighting position in Ukraine. And yet somehow people have heartburn about the sending of the money, because this is where they choose to cut. By the way, I'm noticing a heavy crossover, again, between people who want to spend vast oodles of money on subsidies for various enterprises in the United States and people who are very shy about providing aid to Ukraine. So this has all come to a head because, according to the Wall Street Journal, House Speaker Mike Johnson said on Wednesday he would plunge ahead with a high-stakes vote to move long-stalled funding for Ukraine, Israel, and other overseas allies, elbowing aside criticism from his conservative flank. The move sets up an unpredictable weekend showdown that could determine both the fate of the foreign aid package and Johnson's political career. Democrats will line up likely behind the aid effort. So basically Johnson's plan is he's going to bring each one of these subjects, Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, he's going to bring all of these, and a TikTok ban, he's going to bring all of these as separate bills, and then he's going to package all of them together, because the reality is all of them are going to pass, by the way, with a majority of both parties voting in favor. That is what's going to happen here. Yes, Johnson will require Democratic support in order to pass that bill. Also, a majority of Republicans in the House will vote for that bill. Also, there is a Democratic Senate and a Democratic president, which means that if it is a priority, for example, for Ukraine not to simply fall by running out of ammo to the Russians, then you got to make the deal that you can make. This is the point that Johnson has been making. He says, we're the greatest nation on earth. It's time to act like this. This is basic Reagan Republicanism. I know that Reagan has become a dirty word for some reason, despite the fact that Reagan won the Cold War and led to the greatest peacetime economic expansion in American history. Somehow we're supposed to believe that a bunch of clowns riding the back seats of the House of Representatives who have not accomplished anything, literally anything, in their entire political career, those people have some really mean words about Ronald Reagan's foreign policy. In any case, here's Mike Johnson.
A strong America is good for the entire world. Since World War II, really, the responsibility for the free world has been shifted onto our shoulders, and we accept that role. We're an exceptional nation. We're the greatest nation on the planet, and we have to act like it, and we have to project to Putin and Xi and Iran and North Korea and anybody else that we will defend freedom. It doesn't mean boots on the ground. We're not the world's policemen, but we're going to do the right thing, and I think the Congress is going to take an important stand here.
Now, is this going to be a perfect bill? No. There's going to be a bunch of crap in the bill that you don't like. There's a bunch of crap in the bill I don't like. That's true on the Ukraine aid bill. That's true on the Israel aid bill, which includes $9 billion in American taxpayer dollars for the rebuilding of Gaza. I have no idea how that's going to get parceled out, considering that the real problem is in the Gaza Strip is not really that Hamas is like an ISIS outside party that has hijacked the mechanisms of government. It is, in fact, a popular front in the Gaza Strip, and the civilian population largely supports terrorism. That is a very different story. The Ukraine aid bill has been changed somewhat to include about $10 billion in forgivable loans. So Ukraine theoretically should have to pay back that money. Will they not? Who knows? But the bottom line is that the deal that's on the table is the deal that's on the table. You're either up or you're down on it. President Joe Biden has now suggested that he would back a package of bills along these lines. Now, I know that for a lot of people on the right, that's enough to say no. And anything Joe Biden says yes to, that's enough to say no. But in reality, doing nothing can sometimes be a worse solution than doing the bipartisan thing. There are a few people in politics more partisan than I. But the reality is that there are still commonalities of interest. So, for example, when it came to banning the use of TikTok in the United States so long as ByteDance was not sold to an American company, a lot of Democrats supported that. Just because Democrats supported that didn't mean that it was a bad bill. It was, in fact, a good bill. And I am glad Republicans voted in favor of it. Is this bill perfect? No. Does this bill have a lot of problems? Yes. Is this bill necessary in order to preserve, for example, the strength of America's allies? Yes. And that is why Johnson is right to move the bill. Again, a majority of Republicans are going to vote for this. In the swing districts, if you want Republicans to win a broader majority and then actually make the serious kinds of cuts to government that are necessary, you need to win Congress by more than like 3 votes. In order for that to happen, you have to win purple districts. You know, it's relatively popular in purple districts, this foreign aid bill, by every available polling metric. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First,
hey, everyone, this is Andrew Klavan, host of The Andrew Klavan Show, where we are continually laughing our way through the fall of the Republic. We'll talk about politics. We'll talk about culture. We'll tell you things that no one else will tell you. That is guaranteed. So watch The Andrew Klavan Show on Daily Wire Plus or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. The Republic is going to fall. We might as well get the laughs.
Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden is saying that he will back a foreign aid plan. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blasingame present Amazing Pollinators, on display now through May 27th at the Turtle Bay Museum. Immerse yourself in this visually stunning, game-based role-play adventure that explores the colorful and diverse world of pollinator and plant relationships. Amazing Pollinators at Turtle Bay Museum was created by Minotaur Mazes, a company specializing in interactive maze exhibits. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tiger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by. Get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Attention veterans. Did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
At Black Bear Diner, sandwich stacks are here, and they're tall on irresistible flavors. Indulge in a double bacon stack, hand-breaded crispy chicken stack, a tri-tip cheddar stack, or a crispy cod stack. There's a stack for everyone. Get yours today at Black Bear Diner. Now available for limited time. Served all day, every day. In Reading on Hilltop Drive, order one now at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Experience for the first time glowing wild, an illuminated wildlife lantern display at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. Open select dates March 29th through May 26, 2024. Year of the Dragon. Glowing Wild will feature 10 acres of botanical gardens filled with larger-than-life Asian lantern displays of animals from around the world, plus music, animation, food and drinks, and more. Don't miss Glowing Wild at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden is now saying that he will back a foreign aid plan. Joe Biden put an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal about all of this. He says, now is not the time to abandon our friends. The House must pass urgent national security legislation for Ukraine and Israel, as well as desperately needed humanitarian aid for Palestinians in Gaza. And I have serious problems with these bills. With that said, does Israel need to rearm in the face of Hezbollah? Does Israel need to rearm in the face of Iranian massive barrages of missiles and drones? With Iran threatening more action, yes. Does Ukraine need a baseline ammunition in order to claw back against the Russians? Of course. According to Biden, if Congress passes military aid for Ukraine and Israel, we won't write blank checks. We send military equipment from our own stockpiles and use money authorized by Congress to replenish those stockpiles by buying from American suppliers. That includes Patriot missiles made in Arizona, Javelin missiles made in Alabama, artillery shells made in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Texas. That, by the way, happens to be true. When it comes to this foreign aid, it is not as though the United States simply signs a check to Ukraine or Israel and the money just disappears. Usually it is given in the form of a usable credit against America's defense industry. It means that the United States tends to sell its older tech to these various countries and then replenish its stockpiles with newer tech. That is the way this typically works. As the Wall Street Journal points out, the editorial board, the need is urgent because Ukraine's position is deteriorating. Ukrainian shortages in air defenses are letting the Russian military dominate the air for the first time in 2 years. Ukraine's cities are at risk. Ukraine has lowered the conscription age to 25 from 27. Manpower is solely needed. Even the Ukrainians will wonder about manning a front line if they lack the ammo to shoot back at the enemy. So here's what I'm asking for. What's the actual argument? What's the actual argument against this? Not against the supposed profession of bills. Again, I can name half a dozen problems with each one of these aid bills. Again, with regard to the Israel bill, the big problem, obviously, is slating out $9 billion for quote-unquote humanitarian aid in Gaza when billions of dollars in humanitarian aid have historically gone to build terror tunnels and rockets. When it comes to the Ukraine bill, making sure there is full transparency on the spending of that aid so it doesn't go into some corrupt oligarch's pocket. I'm not sure what kind of guarantees are in the bills. Like, there are serious problems with these bills. But the argument against these bills has typically not been on the margins. It hasn't been, let's make an amendment that actually ensures that these things don't happen. It's been, I'm against all of it. So I want to hear the argument. What's the I'm against all of it argument? The only argument that I've heard, the I'm against all of it, is either totally clownish, or, as I say, the libertarian argument, which does not obtain for the vast majority of people in Congress who are voting for budget bills every single day. For example, when you talk about the clownish, Marjorie Taylor Greene, yeah, she's one of the people, she's the one who launched this supposed motion to vacate. And I say supposed because it hasn't really materialized yet, this motion to vacate against Speaker Johnson. Marjorie Taylor Greene put forward an amendment to the Ukraine aid bill. This is when I say this is clowns who are attempting to gain attention. Marjorie Taylor Greene is like exhibit A in this particular category. The congresswoman from Georgia proposed amendments to the foreign aid bills for Ukraine and Israel. One of the amendments says that, quote, any member of Congress who votes in favor of this act shall be required to conscript in the Ukrainian military. I'm sorry, this is dullard stuff. This is low IQ idiocy. Required to conscript in the Ukrainian military. First of all, one of the arguments that I keep hearing that is just nonsensical is this idea that how can we sponsor Ukraine and conscripting people and sending them to the front lines as battle fodder? I mean, Vladimir Putin is doing that right now with his own people. And it turns out that Ukrainians are overwhelmingly in favor of defending their country by every available metric. But Marjorie Taylor Greene doing this ridiculous, you have to join the Ukrainian military in order to want Ukraine to stand up to Russia. It's just dumb stuff. I'm sorry, if this appeals to you, I don't have to tell you, it's a dumb argument. It is not even an argument. It's an emotional appeal of absolute stupidity. By the way, two other amendments introduced by Greene to the Ukraine bill are to force Ukraine to close all of its bio laboratories before it receives any more money. Okay, there's been this myth that's going around that somehow Ukraine has a series of bio laboratories that are creating bioweapons for unleashing in Russia. The evidence to this has been scanty at best. And for a report to be carried out before any more funding is sent to prove the, quote, Christian churches in Ukraine are able to operate free from government interference. Okay, this particular line of nonsense has been that because Ukraine has cracked down on the Russian Orthodox Church, which is a tool of the Russian state inside Ukraine, that somehow this amounts to cracking down on Christians more broadly. Russia cracks down on Seventh-day Adventists. They literally arrest them. And this is a bunch of specious arguments masquerading as a policy. And it's not a policy. It's basically just oppositionality for clicks. Here are some of the Republicans who said that they will not support the aid bills. Again, some of the reasons may be good, like we spend too much money on everything, including this. And some of the reasons are just garbage.
Bet for hours last night and proposed different paths for the speaker that would have avoided the abject surrender represented by his strategic choice here. There's no other way to describe it. It's surrender. It's disappointing. I won't support it.
It's disappointing. It's completely detached from what our base wants, what our voters want.
The strategy is not to try. I think the strategy is to fall on his sword.
Now, the reality is that what you hear one of those Congress people from Arizona saying, that the base doesn't like the Ukraine aid, that's true. By polling statistics, Republicans right now, about 57% of Republicans, according to Gallup, say that the United States is doing too much for Ukraine. However, that is because of the drumbeat that suggests that there will be no ill consequences if the United States does not actually provide additional aid to Ukraine. That drumbeat is false. There will be ill consequences if you actually provide no additional aid to Ukraine. The actual question should be, how many Republicans are okay with Russia taking Kyiv? How many Republicans are fine with Russia being in charge of Ukraine, ingesting it? That would be the actual question right there. And that's the one that nobody will answer, including many of the people who currently oppose the aid to Ukraine. We'll get some more of this coming up. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact. B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and Internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes Internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops to come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairers will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator, exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
VIN, call now. VIN, call now.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I just want, like, what is their plan? So much of the sort of no caucus in the Republican Party right now is about not having a plan. It's about saying a thing and then having no plan whatsoever. It's what they did when they got rid of McCarthy. They got rid of McCarthy. They're like, oh, what comes? We have no idea what comes next. We just didn't like him. So he's gone. So now we'll spend weeks and weeks and weeks going through every Republican until we get to Mike Johnson. And now they also have no plan. Their new no plan is, what if we get rid of Johnson in favor of literally no one? So here is Thomas Massie, who has now joined this charge. Here he was trying to explain that Johnson should resign. Now, let's be clear about this. The Republicans currently hold, after all the retirements, 218 seats in the House, which means they have like a two-vote majority. With that said, Johnson has the support of probably at least 200 members of the Republican caucus, maybe more, given the fact that nobody wants to do this crap again. So when he says that Johnson should resign, Thomas Massie has the support of him and Marjorie Taylor Greene. And Johnson has the support of 200-plus members. Why exactly should he resign in favor of a guy who has no support? That's silly. But Massie says that he should announce his resignation, and that will give people time to find a replacement. Or maybe he doesn't have to, because you know what you're going to do the next time you don't like something that the speaker does, which you will, because your name is Thomas Massie, and you oppose all these things. Again, Thomas Massie, I will say this for Massie. Massie is a consistent libertarian. He's like Ron Paul. He just doesn't want any spending on anything. Now, that doesn't mean that I think that all of his motives are pure. He has tweeted out in the past, for example, that being pro-Israel is effectively being anti-American patriotism, which is insipid. But he's at least consistent in his voting record. That consistency, however, is the hobgoblin of a small mind when it comes to how the speaker is supposed to govern. The speaker can't just say no to everything the way Thomas Massie would, which is why Thomas Massie is not speaker. And if he were speaker, the Republicans would be in the majority for, oh, approximately however long until it is the next election. Here is Massie saying Johnson should resign.
Well, yesterday in our GOP conference, I asked him to resign. And I'll tell you why. Number one, he's just not equipped for this job. Every negotiation he's gone into with Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden, he's received nothing in exchange. He's either not good at negotiating, or he's negotiating for their side. He's done an omnibus that broke Nancy Pelosi's spending records. He reauthorized FISA without warrants. Now he's going for the trifecta to pass the Ukraine spending without doing anything to enforce our border. That will be three strikes, in addition to just the poor management of the House here, the House of Representatives.
Okay, the Republicans, by the way, it should be mentioned here, on the border security part of the foreign aid package, they had additional border security in a Senate bill. Republicans decided it wasn't enough. I thought it wasn't enough. I thought it was a problem. And so Republicans stripped that out, saying that Joe Biden already has the authority to take many of the actions necessary to secure the border. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it where I want more border security, but not like that. No, no, no. And then it gets stripped out. And they're like, well, but there's no border security in this bill. They've already passed H.R. 2. You know where it's going? Nowhere. Democrats are not passing H.R. 2. One of the signal errors that people make when it comes to politics is the assumption that people who oppose you have no agency, that people on the other side of the aisle somehow don't exist. It's a wild assumption when it comes to politics, both foreign and domestic. On the foreign policy level, you'll see people, when it comes to foreign policy, well, America didn't do that, then the other side wouldn't act like they are. Maybe they would. Maybe they have their own independent interests. Maybe it turns out that Vladimir Putin had an interest in taking the Donbass and Crimea, regardless as to what sort of confusing things were being said about NATO. Maybe it turns out, for example, that Iran wants to destroy Israel, regardless as to whether Israel goes into Rafah or not. Maybe it turns out that there are plenty of people on Earth who all have free will and all have their own interests, including Democrats, who are going to be on the other side of the table of a negotiation in which they hold the Senate and the presidency. But, you know, it's fun to pretend that you're the only person on Earth, and especially when you're on an island like some of these legislators, meaning just doing what you want to do without any real impact on the world. Well, I mean, I guess that's fun. I guess that's interesting. The problem is when you're holding up another 210 members of Congress, out of some sort of peculiar ire against Mike Johnson, the most conservative Speaker of the House by every available metric in the history of the United States. Somehow, it just doesn't wash. It just doesn't wash. This is all unworkable. It's all foolish. All of the incentive structures for Congress are off. The only way to rectify this problem is for Mike Johnson to stop giving in to the people on the fringe, which is what he is doing by pushing forward these bills, all of which will pass with a majority of Republican support, including the Ukraine aid bill in the House. My prediction is the Ukraine aid bill in the House will pass with a majority of Democrats and a majority of Republicans. The Israel aid bill will pass with a majority of Republicans, and I would think a majority of Democrats. The Taiwan aid bill will pass with a majority of both parties. When you're talking about a bipartisan bill and it gets a majority of both parties, that's kind of the definition of the thing. And again, I know bipartisanship has become a dirty word because anything the other side likes must be terrible. That also happens to be the nature of any negotiated settlement. Everyone walks away from the table unhappy. That's just the way negotiations happen. There's never been a negotiation that was successful in which both parties walk away happier than they were with their original positions. That's not how it works. More on this in just a second. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saved over 58,000 unborn babies. Thank you to everyone who donated and helped make this possible. It's truly beautiful to hear the story of a life that was saved. Jabra is a young lady who found herself in an unplanned pregnancy and was strongly influenced to end her pregnancy at an abortion clinic. Even as they administered the abortion pill, she felt cold and anxious. She fled home and started searching for how to reverse the curse, which led her to a Preborn network clinic. The nurse immediately administered progesterone and calmed her greatest fear. The baby was saved. When a mom sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, it's a divine connection that could double a baby's chance at life. Each of these babies are truly miraculous. Every day, Preborn celebrates 200 miracles. By donating just $28, we can make the difference between the life and death of a child. So let's join together and help moms choose life. Just dial #250, say keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben. Go check them out right now, preborn.com/Ben. You're doing something amazing every time you help out Preborn, because again, when moms see their babies on ultrasound, it makes them want to save their babies. Go to preborn.com/Ben to help out. Again, this is all about making the House unworkable, which means, again, there are a lot of Republicans who like being in the minority. They want Hakeem Jeffries to be Speaker. That's really what they want at this point. I don't see any other logic to challenging Johnson, which is why after these foreign aid bills are done, Johnson needs to nuke this idiotic rule. I've been urging him to do it for weeks on the air. He needs to nuke this idiotic rule that one member of Congress can hold up the entire works of government out of some peculiar ire at the Speaker of the House. Here is GOP Representative Kelly Armstrong correctly summing up who the hell wants this job.
Well, I'm standing with the Speaker because I actually consider him a friend, and I think he is trying to do the toughest job in politics, and I think given all the circumstances, he's doing it very admirably. My recommendation to any of my colleagues that are thinking about doing this is go back to October, where we have 13 weeks where we go through all of this. Now we're walking into an election cycle. We have tremendous things that we can campaign on across our districts, and by throwing ourselves into chaos without having any kind of real success plan. I mean, just to be honest, I don't know who would want the job if this succeeds at this point.
That is correct. But maybe that's the idea. No one wants the job. Maybe the idea is only Democrats want the job. So if that's the case, pack up your bags and go home. Because you screaming from the opposition benches does nothing to actually advance the agenda. And meanwhile, Joe Biden continues to dodder around saying idiotic things. So Iran is threatening more retaliation against Israel should Israel take action after it openly declared war on Israel. Iran literally fired 350 drones, missiles against Israel, and Israel has not yet responded. Not only that, over the course of the last 48 hours, Hezbollah, which is an Iranian proxy, fired a suicide drone into an area of northern Israel, wounding 14 people and killing 4. That is an Iranian offensive action. And Israel has responded in Lebanon. They've not responded in Iran. One of the reasons they've not done this is because it seems that there's been a deal with the United States to postpone any sort of strike against Iran directly at the behest of the United States and the EU, so long as Israel gets to clean up in Rafah and finish the job in Rafah. Now, Joe Biden is not going to say that out loud because Joe Biden still wants to cater to the anti-Semites in his base, the pro-Hamasniks in his base. So here was Joe Biden yesterday. He is not with us. This is an incredible clip. So Joe Biden is talking about how he told Israel not to go into Rafah. Okay, but he doesn't know anything. So he literally says that Israel should not go into Haifa. And now, for those who are not versed in the Middle East, Rafah is a Palestinian city in the Gaza Strip on the border with Egypt. Haifa is an Israeli city on the coast of Israel. So apparently he told Israel not to invade its own city. Well, I mean, I think maybe they'll agree, actually. The first time Israel has agreed with Joe Biden on anything for a while, I presume they also will not invade Haifa. I'm so glad he stopped it.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean, anyway, I just, look what we did recently when Israel was attacked.
Just, he is so ridiculous. He is not with us. He is a weakling. Everyone perceives him as a weakling. Just another reason, by the way, why the United States should actually signal its support for its allies with things like foreign aid. It's the only thing the legislature can do. The president has plenary power over foreign policy, but the legislature does get to declare what its priorities are in terms of, say, funding American allies, so that those allies are strong. Here's the unspoken reality. Once the aid goes through to Israel, Israel will have the wherewithal to take action independent of Joe Biden, which will be good for the United States because Joe Biden's foreign policy is trash. It is absolute trash. And the same thing is true in Ukraine, where Joe Biden slow walked the aid to Ukraine such that all of the battle lines got frozen. One of the ways of ending around Joe Biden's foreign policy is by making sure that America's allies have weaponry so that they can act on their own, because Joe Biden is such a bad foreign policy president that it turns out that America's allies are doing a better job of assuring American interests than Joe Biden is. That is the reality. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First,
hey, everyone, this is Daily Wire Editor-in-Chief John Bickley with Georgia Howe.
We co-host Morning Wire, the daily news podcast created to bring more balance to the national conversation.
We give you the news you need to know in 15 minutes or less without the mainstream spin.
Join us and get the facts first with a new episode every morning.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Daily Wire Plus, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, coming up, progressive anti-Semitism continues to rise. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
So you know what that means. Hot cars! And cool April 9th is back, April 19th to the 28th. It's going to be bigger than ever. So mark your calendar for 10 days of classic car fun. This year has more show and shines, a drive-in movie, cornhole tournament with $1,000 in prizes. Don't forget to dust off your lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday, April 26th. End the week by coming to the biggest show and shine of them all at the Civic Auditorium on Saturday, April 27th. There will be 2,000 classic cars on display, tons of great food, a variety of vendors, and lots of chances to win prizes at our annual Poker Walk or Raffle City. Get your tickets today at any of the 8 local Napa Auto Parts stores to avoid the line. Cool April Nights returns April 19th to the 28th, so mark your calendars. For a full schedule of events, go to coolaprilnights.com. That's coolaprilnights.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, I'm Adam Ryan, presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those individuals that are interested in serving on the Shasta County Grand Jury. To apply or get more information, please visit our website at ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
The Shasta County Grand Jury application deadline has been extended to April 24th. To apply or to get details, visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org. Don't delay. Get your application in now.
Please apply now.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hey.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So progressive anti-Semitism is still on the move. Progressive anti-Semitism is built on a conspiracy theory, as all anti-Semitism is. Anti-Semitism is a conspiracy theory about Jews. It's different from other forms of racism because of the way in which it manifests. So because Jews are both an ethnicity as well as a religion, anti-Semitism is a theory about those who hold the religion and people of Jewish ethnicity, depending on the manifestation. And it basically says, unlike other forms of racism, which declare that a group of people is lesser, if you're racist against blacks, it's because you believe they are inferior. Anti-Semitism is a conspiracy theory about Jews that they are coordinating in control of power in various industries and thus in charge of systems. And because they're in charge of those systems are designed for their own benefit and they're harming other people. It's why anti-Semitism is incredibly virulent. Because, as it turns out, people who are powerless very frequently hate the system. And if they see a disproportionate number of Jews who are doing well in the system, they then blame the Jews. And they claim that the Jews have rigged the system for their own benefit. Also, it's really virulent because if you believe that people are actually controlling the system that harms you, that justifies violence against them. Which is why anti-Semitism has tended to be incredibly violent over the long history of anti-Semitism. So, when it comes to progressive anti-Semitism, it does cross paths with the DEI mentality. The DEI mentality is that if there is inequality in group outcome, it must be because of injustice in the system. Therefore, groups that are disproportionately successful in the system are beneficiaries of the system and maybe the designers of the system. That is the case for progressive anti-Semitism. And it's why you see people like Queers for Palestine, people who hate the system. They don't like the patriarchy. They don't like heteronormativism. They don't like the system. And similarly, you have people who are pro-Hamas. They also don't like the system because they are disproportionately unsuccessful because they support terror and evil. And they look at the system, all of them. They say, I don't like that system. That system is bad. And you know who's in charge of that system? See a lot of Jews there. Must be the Jews. That is where progressive anti-Semitism comes from. It drinks from the same exact well as the sort of Marxist conspiracy theory about power, which is why Karl Marx was the world's most notorious example of a self-hating Jew. He was ethnically Jewish, but really, really hated Jews, like a lot, and wrote full essays on it. And so, progressive anti-Semitism has come to the forefront. A protest in New York City on April 15th, just a few days ago. They're out of the closet now. I mean, it used to be that they were pretending that it was about protecting Gazans, their opposition to Israel taking out Hamas. They tried to pretend that for like a hot second. There were a few problems with that. Number one, it clearly was untrue. They were protesting Israel between the October 7th attacks and Israel's retaliation against Hamas. Second, they're going out to rallies now and just waving Hezbollah flags and Hamas flags and all the like. Here we go. Here you can see a person waving a yellow flag. That yellow flag is the flag of Hezbollah. Hezbollah is a terror group. It is a terrorist group, and they're waving the flag of Hezbollah. First of all, how do you even obtain a flag of Hezbollah? Can you get that on Amazon? Like, where do you get that? My guess is not from good people. I don't feel like you're heading down your local Salvation Army and picking up a Hezbollah flag. Well, don't worry. They were also wearing Hamas headbands at this rally. So that was great. Here is some footage of them wearing Hamas headbands, as you'll see in just a moment. There we go. So we're wearing a kafia and a Hamas headband. Again, I'm not sure where you get the Shahada, which is the Hamas headband, which pledges martyrdom, or why you would be in the United States wearing it. But it seems to me that that's kind of a threat to the United States. You are a terror supporter. You like terrorism. Hamas is a terror group. Not just that, just in case you were worried that maybe it really isn't about America at all, they burned American flags and chanted death to America at this rally. So, you know, they're being pretty obvious about this sort of stuff. So what happened here is a pro-Israel student from Colombia brought an American flag. The protesters grabbed the flag, stomped on it, and then tried to set it on fire. So, yeah. Delightful group of people. The good news is pro-Palestinian activists, they think that death to America is just like a normal phrase. It's just a thing you say, right? It's like how around the holiday seasons you say Merry Christmas to people. I mean, when people say death to America, apparently it's just like, you know, Aloha in Hawaii or something.
What do you think about people chanting death to America, as they did in one video clip?
I think that that's just a phrase maybe said by an individual.
Well, no, the whole crowd began joining in.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, yeah. So this guy said it, and then the whole crowd began chanting it. What would you condemn that?
I'm here to talk about the entire Israeli
government. Hang on, you're here to answer my questions, actually. Would you condemn what they were chanting, death to America?
I think we should condemn Palestinians actually being killed.
Okay.
I think that...
That's not the question I'm asking you. So I will ask you about Gaza. But on the question I asked you, would you condemn people in America chanting death to America? What do you say?
I don't condemn how people choose to express their rage verbally. I don't condemn that because at the end of the day, the reason they're saying that is because the U.S. is sending the tax dollars and the weapons that are actually creating
death to Gaza. So do you support them chanting death to America?
I don't chant that myself, so I don't know why you're trying to stop me in this type of
argument. I'm asking you to condemn it. You don't want to.
Okay, well, there's a reason she doesn't condemn it, because she's fine with it. This is a phrase people use, you know, because they're mad. Because they like Hamas. Meanwhile, by the way, that is an opinion that is also apparently held by progressive representatives. Here's Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, who's a member of the Hamas squad. She was asked about the protesters chanting death to America, and she's like, oh, I didn't hear it. Don't know anything about it. Okay. The queen of TikTok knows nothing about the TikTok pro-Hamasniks.
Does it sound like this is pro-Palestinian or anti-American if they're burning American flags and chanting death to America?
I'm not privy to... I haven't seen these reports. I have to check for them myself.
Do you support burning the American flag and chanting death to America? Anti-Israel protesters blocking the Brooklyn Bridge burned the American flag and chanted death to America. Do you condemn this type of rhetoric?
We've got to get her on to her next event.
Here. Are you okay with people burning the American flag?
We're in a big hurry, guys.
Yes.
She's walking, no answer. That is an unbelievable thing. By the way, it should be an every Republican campaign ad against these people. And if Republicans had their heads out of their asses and weren't too busy shooting each other, they might, you know, direct their fire at the progressives in the Democratic caucus, who are well respected and treated with the cover of Rolling Stone magazine, who literally cannot condemn people burning the American flag. It turns out the American people don't like that very much. Meanwhile, the Columbia president was at a hearing on the Hill. I know a lot of students at Columbia. The anti-Semitism at Columbia has been extraordinary. Huge levels of anti-Semitism, including against some professors who have been, in some cases, physically confronted. But this Columbia president learned her lesson. So you remember last time there was a congressional hearing with university presidents, including Claudine Gay of Harvard, who's no longer the president. They refused to suggest that from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Genocidal calls for the destruction of Jewry were anti-Semitic. The Columbia president learned her lesson, and she gave a little more ground.
Were you aware of those statements before the hiring?
I share with you your repugnance at those remarks. I understand that. On my watch, faculty who make remarks that cross the line in terms of anti-Semitism, there will be consequences for them.
What are the consequences in this case?
I have five cases at the moment who have either been either taken out of the classroom or dismissed.
And is he one of those?
He will never work at Columbia again.
Okay, so Columbia has learned its lesson. Okay, so the Columbia president is trying to wiggle out of the fact that Columbia has been extraordinarily tolerant toward anti-Semitism. But it seems like maybe the worm is beginning to turn a little bit here. It turns out that even mainstream leftists are beginning to realize that the pro-Hamas people, maybe not their best political friends. Maybe they're a problem. So I had urged yesterday Google to fire all of the idiot employees who occupied their offices. And they did. According to the Wall Street Journal, Google has now fired 28 employees who protested this week against the tech giant's cloud computing contract with the Israeli government. In a company-wide email, Vice President for Global Security Chris Rakow said that Google dismissed the employees after an investigation found they were involved in the protests at the company's offices in New York and Sunnyvale, California. The protests were unacceptable, extremely disruptive, and made coworkers feel threatened, Rakow said. The overwhelming majority of our employees do the right thing. If you're one of the few who are tempted to think we're going to overlook conduct that violates our policies, think again. Well, good for Google, because this is the way companies ought to work. Maybe the worm is beginning to turn. Maybe the radicals are starting to lose some of the steam. Already reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here tomorrow with much, much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Following Iran's massive drone and missile attack on Israel last weekend, House Majority Leader Steve Scalise says the United States must stand in solidarity with the Jewish state.
Our friends around the world are counting on us to have their back, you know, and especially a country like Israel, who's always under attack. They can take care of themselves, but they need our support and help because there are other countries in the world that want to undermine Israel.
Scalise was interviewed on Salem News program This Week on the Hill, heard on many of these stations this weekend. Some Tesla vehicles are being recalled.
The recall involves about 3,900 2024 Cybertrucks. Tesla says the accelerator pedal can become stuck, potentially causing the vehicle to accelerate unintentionally, increasing the risk of a crash. According to a filing with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, the accelerator pedal pad may dislodge and become trapped by the interior trim. Tesla is not aware of any collisions, injuries, or deaths related to the issue. Owners need to contact Tesla. The company says it will replace or repair the accelerator pedal assembly for free. I'm Mike Hempen.
The Supreme Court makes it easier for workers who are transferred from one job to another against their will to pursue job discrimination claims under federal civil rights law.
The individuals can seek the claims even when they are not demoted or docked pay. Justice Elena Kagan wrote for the court that workers only have to show that the transfer resulted in some but not necessarily significant harm to prove their claims. The justices unanimously revived a sex discrimination lawsuit filed by a St. Louis police sergeant after she was forcibly transferred but retained her rank and pay.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. More at townhall.com.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlique helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos. Fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at GetEthos.com. That's GetEthos.com.
Well, it was a near miss at Reagan National Airport near Washington, D.C.
A JetBlue flight was beginning to take off in Arlington, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., when an air traffic controller instructed a Southwest flight to cross the same runway. Southwest Airlines Flight 2937, which was bound for Orlando, Florida, later took off from the airport at 7:47 a.m., and the JetBlue Flight 1554, bound for Boston, took off from Reagan at 1:48 p.m., JetBlue said in a statement that no injuries were reported, and both airlines said they're working with officials to investigate the incident further. Hiya Pinjwani, Washington.
An attorney wants a federal court to overturn a Florida law that she says discriminates against Chinese citizens by barring their purchase of real estate in much of the state. Ashley Gorski represented four Chinese nationals before the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals on Friday. News and analysis at townhall.com. The Dow was up Friday, but the other two market indexes were not as fortunate, with tech stocks in particular taking a tumble.
The worst week for big technology stocks since the COVID crash in 2020 dragged Wall Street across the finish line of another losing week. The S&P 500 fell 0.9% Friday to close out its third straight losing week. The Nasdaq tumbled 2%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was an outlier and rose 0.6%. Supermicro Computer lost more than a fifth of its value. NVIDIA was the single heaviest weight on the S&P 500. Helping to limit the market's losses was American Express, which rose after reporting stronger than expected profit for its latest quarter. Fifth Third Bancorp also rose after it likewise topped expectations. Damian Troisi, New York.
New Jersey lawmakers are considering a proposal to establish a stand-your-ground law that would expand the use of force when acting in self-defense. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, students in Utah walked out of class in protest after their school became overrun by furries. The media has been denying that any of this is really happening, but it's real, and the full story is even more bizarre than you think. Also, Joe Biden invented a story about his uncle being eaten by cannibals. Unsurprisingly, he's now being accused of cultural insensitivity for making this story up. And Republicans want to send billions more to Ukraine. We must do this, says the speaker, because otherwise Putin will march on Europe. And African migrants in New York attend a hearing to complain about the unsatisfactory accommodations. We'll talk about all that and more today on The Matt Walsh Show. Let's try to follow the winding contours of this rather bizarre story. It begins earlier this week with students at Mount Nebo Middle School in Utah staging a walkout in protest of all the furries that administrators have allowed to infest the school. It began with a petition, which gained over 500 signatures in a few days, calling for the school to start enforcing its dress codes and stop allowing students to come to class dressed in their furry costumes. And then came the walkout. Adam Bartholomew is a local commentator in Utah, captured footage of the event and of the kids outside the school, talked to them and asked them what their complaints were. And let's watch a little bit of that.
So are they wearing a mask every day?
Yes. But every time they go, they're always just wearing a mask. But the principal finally stood up and banned those stuff.
But they still wear them every day.
Yeah, they don't.
And they don't get in trouble. The principal doesn't get to make them get in trouble.
Yeah. All the principal says is just be kind, be nice, be nice. And then...
What's the point of dressing up like a furry?
So people can come at them and just look at them and think that they're so cool.
Okay.
Also,
are you guys going to be in trouble for walking out of school today?
No, maybe. We might.
Do your parents know you guys are out here?
Yes!
They violate us and we just kick them. We get in trouble. They attack us.
They attack us and we get in trouble.
How else do they attack you guys?
They either bite us, they scratch us,
they bark at us. They pounce on us.
And then
us.
And then they get in trouble. They run on all fours and pounce on people.
So the furries have gone feral, it seems. They're biting and scratching and pouncing on people. Some of the students have had enough of this behavior. They want to go to school at a school, not at a petting zoo, and that's why they walked out. So that's the story. But then the fact checkers leapt into action to throw cold water on this whole story, or to try to do that at least. Here's the Salt Lake Tribune. Fact check. Nebo School District responds to claims about student protests over furries. A district spokesperson said the protests seemed to be organized after a message sent to families was misinterpreted. Now, what kind of misinterpretation can lead these students to think that there are a bunch of furries in school when there really aren't, supposedly? Like, what? And what could you have said in an email that people would mistranslate as a reference to furries? Well, let's keep reading. Quote, video of middle schoolers walking out of a Nebo school district school in Payson on Wednesday quickly spread in conservative social media circles, with posts claiming the students were protesting because the district was allowing student furries to terrorize other students. Nebo School District spokesperson Seth Sorensen said that claim was false. He also said that students at the middle school are not wearing full-body animal costumes to class as furries, part of a subculture of people who sometimes dress up like animal characters but act like humans, are known to do. Dismissing the claim, Sorensen said the Wednesday protests seemed to be organized after a message the school sent to families last week was misinterpreted. The message was sent after a group of students had been targeting another group of students, saying things that were overheard by others that the administrators felt were inappropriate and shouldn't be said, Sorensen said. The group of students being targeted, he added, were students who sometimes come to school wearing headbands that may have ears on them. He said he doesn't think the targeted students necessarily refer to themselves as furries. So the spokesman says that there are no furries. I guess the kids are lying or somehow confused. There aren't any furries, but there might be some kids wearing animal ears to class for whatever reason. And those kids, he says, may or may not identify as furries. It's all a big misunderstanding. But then he goes on to admit that there have been altercations over people being dressing differently, quote unquote. Back to the article, says, in one specific instance, the targeted students were sitting in a corner of the lunchroom eating as a group of friends when others began calling them names and throwing food at them because they were dressed differently, Sorensen told the Salt Lake Tribune on Thursday, providing more details about the situation. After word of the altercation spread, the school sent an initial message to families last Friday stating, quote, we expect all students to be respectful towards each other while we are here at the school. We hope you will treat others how you would like to be treated, the message stated. Outstanding behavior might demonstrate curiosity, understanding, patience, and tolerance. But Sorensen said that he thinks some parents misinterpreted the note, incorrectly taking it as a message that the school was taking the side of a single group, saying, we want you to be this kind of group, but they don't have to be kind to anybody else. Nobody was taking the side of one group or another, he said. What we were saying is everyone needs to treat everyone else with respect. Okay, well, wait a second here. He says that the school isn't taking the side of a single group, quote unquote. But what group are you talking about? I thought that he said that there weren't any furries at the school. Which group is he referring to? I thought the group in question doesn't exist at the school. So what's the fact check here? Is he saying that there are furries at the school, but he's not taking their side? Because that's a different kind of fact check. Is he confirming that there are indeed kids coming to school dressed like animals? This fact check and the dozens of others published by various outlets over the last couple of days who have claimed this is all some right-wing conspiracy totally invented, they've made it seem like the reports of furries were pure unfounded rumor, but that's not quite what you get from the spokesman's own words. And then there's this, quote, on Tuesday, the school sent another message to parents trying to clarify its original note. We have had several parents reach out to us over the past few days regarding rumors that are being spread about behaviors of a small group of students at our school. We hope our efforts to clarify misconceptions should be sufficient, but it seems we still have some misunderstandings. The note went on to quote the Friday message and concluded with an acknowledgement of rumored plans of a walkout protest on Wednesday. Well, there's again a reference to this group of students who, according to the fact checkers, doesn't exist. So how can a non-existent group of furries exhibit any behaviors at all, given that they don't exist? Or do they? And if they don't exist, then why did we see with our own eyes and hear with our own ears kids from that school on camera saying explicitly that their classmates are being permitted to come to class dressed like animals and act like animals too? Here's a video from a guy named Eric Maltzis with more insight from people who work at the school. Listen to what he says.
Problem is, a substitute teacher from Mount Nebo Middle School contacted me and said this has been happening for over a year, and this one is actually really sad, and this person needs to be reprimanded. Rebecca Hunsaker Barney said, this is the school I work at. I'm embarrassed for the parents that just believed everything their kids told them, then staged a protest without even contacting the school to find out what is really happening. The truth is that a few kids dress as pets stay to themselves. They do not do any of these things these kids are reporting. However, they are constantly picked on and bullied. So the kids stay to themselves. But what about the video I just got from a concerned parent where this girl acting like a dog is going after these students? This gets it's even better. Honestly, we had the most wonderful, peaceful day yesterday because most of the troublemakers were out protesting a lie. Really? Because that doesn't look like a lie. The halls were quiet and actually cleaner without them there. This is a teacher at the school. This teacher is supposed to look at these kids in the eye, unbiased, and give them grades.
Okay, well, that confirms it then. The furries being in school is not a rumor. It's not misinformation. And the left has been denying that this sort of thing is happening for years. They've claimed that this is all the claims of furries at school and kids coming to school dressed as animals. They've been saying for years that this is a total right-wing myth, completely made up. But here you have a teacher who is on the side of the furries, a teacher who doesn't like the kids who were protesting, admitting publicly that, quote, a few kids dress as pets. And she says that like it's completely normal, like she sees no problem with it, as if it's normal childhood behavior. I don't know about you, but when I went to school, we had precisely zero kids dressing as pets at school. What? Well, she actually shows them a problem with it, and she doesn't, and that is the problem. Now, look, we can have debates over dress codes and how strict they could be or should be, but any halfway sane person should agree that the dress code should at least require that every student dress like a human at a minimum. Dressing as a pet is not something that a child of any age should be doing on a regular basis. Okay, if my four-year-old at home was dressing like an animal every day, I'd be a little concerned even about that. It's like, well, that's an unhealthy fixation for a child of any age. But a middle school age child during school hours? By the way, the same guy, Eric Maltzis, has also obtained these photos of kids at this school dressed in their animal costumes, which you can see here. So we've got some kind of velociraptor lion hybrid thing. And then a bunch of variations of cats, I guess. And I think I see another lizard or maybe there's a dinosaur back there. Kids are dressing like this at school. Coming to school in a full-on mask and just walking around the school? Their parents are letting them leave the house in animal masks? Well, this is happening. It has not been debunked. It is real. It's a real thing. But we have not yet gotten to the weirdest part of this story, somehow. The local ABC affiliate decided to provide context by interviewing a furry in costume and referring to the woman as her fictional character's name during this interview. Watch.
This is Strudel, a member of the furry fandom. Though they've been a furry for over a decade, they have their own opinions.
It's crazy that it's escalated to this point where these kids are being so distracting to their peers that their peers want to stage a walkout. So to have, you know, the next generation kind of muddy our name and not represent it very well, it is kind of disappointing.
Strudel believes there should be some limits.
Continue doing things you like, continue dressing up, continue making art, but maybe let's keep it outside of school hours.
Yeah, she doesn't want these kids to muddy the name of furries. They must not sully the reputation of the furries. They shouldn't do anything that gives the public the impression that people who walk around in animal costumes are, I don't know, weird, bizarre, deranged, mentally unbalanced. That's according to Strudel, who the reporter refers to as Strudel, while also respecting the non-binary pronouns of the fictional character that the woman in the costume is pretending to be. Now, you may like to think that this what you just saw there is the media's low point. That's as low as it cannot get worse than that. It has finally hit rock bottom. It cannot possibly get any more embarrassing than that. But unfortunately, you're wrong. I mean, there is no bottom, I'm afraid. Searching for the media's lowest point is like searching for the end of a black hole. It just keeps going and going, and it gets darker and darker all the while. Now this, as many of us have warned for years, what you're seeing in this particular school, and it's not the only school, by the way, is the result of emphasizing tolerance and acceptance above all. In fact, you heard it even in that email the school sent home. The problem, as far as they're concerned, is not that kids are coming to school dressed as animals, but that other kids are not sufficiently tolerant of it. And this is the result of that. And I don't say it's the end result. It's not the final result. As I said, there is no end. There is no finality. It can always get weirder and more disturbing. But this is a result. This is an inevitable stop along the way once you board the crazy train. And when you start telling people, kids especially, that they can be whatever they want to be and they can identify as whatever they want to identify as, of course some of them choose to be animals. Obviously. And since you've elevated tolerance and personal expression, quote unquote, as the highest virtues, you now have no way of telling these kids not to behave this way. I mean, how can you? They're expressing themselves. They're being who they feel they are deep inside. The school can't put a stop to this without backtracking on the entire woke program. That's clearly how they see it. And they're right. There's an interesting segment from that ABC affiliate's written report on this same issue. And their article also quotes Strudel, by the way, and calls her that in the report. But then it says this. According to WebMD, a furry is someone who has an interest in animals with human qualities and who sometimes dresses up as a cartoon-like version of an animal. Quote, I really like the idea of animals that walk and talk, so I'm going to dress up as one as kind of a fun sort of cosplay thing, Strudel said. WebMD said people are often interested in becoming furries to find a sense of community, though some of the drawbacks they may face are negative stereotypes and social stigmas. Now, I have no idea why WebMD is being consulted for furry information, but in any event, it implies that the negative stereotypes and social stigmas against this quote-unquote community are wrong, but they aren't. I mean, there should be a social stigma attached to walking around in a ridiculous costume. It is normal for a person to treat such behavior as bizarre and antisocial because it is bizarre and antisocial behavior. A lot of what we now refer to as bullying among children, some of it is actually bullying, but a lot of it is really just children acting normal and responding to weird, unhealthy things in a way that conveys that the things are weird and unhealthy. The schools want to condition children out of that natural, normal response. They want your child to treat the furry as normal, and then after treating the furry as normal, eventually to actually see this sort of behavior as normal, and then eventually to become one himself or something just as or more bizarre. That is the process. That's the agenda. And it's playing out at schools all across the country right now. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Hello, everyone. For all of you who suffer from calcium oxalate stones, here is some free advice. Tip 1, drink plenty of water. It takes a lot of water to dilute and pass the substances that lead to stones. Tip 2, modify your diet. You'll need to limit sodium, cut your meat.
Tired of difficult lifestyle changes that often don't work? If you suffer from calcium oxalate stones, now there's help. KidneyCop, calcium oxalate protector. Add KidneyCop to your routine as a way to potentially reduce or even stop the formation of calcium oxalate stones. KidneyCop is a dietary supplement developed by doctors and pharmacists. It's been proven in laboratory tests to reduce the rate of calcium oxalate crystal growth by 99%. That's right, 99%. Just take KidneyCop. Satisfaction guaranteed and your money back. You can purchase affordable KidneyCop today by visiting Amazon.com, Walmart.com, or KidneyCop.com. Yes, you can start enjoying life again. Purchase KidneyCop at Amazon.com, Walmart.com, or KidneyCop.com today.
These statements have not been reviewed by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Sponsored by Calcium Oxalate Labs, Inc.
We'll be back with the Matt Walsh Show in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world: family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Hey, what's going on, Redding, California? This is Tony Horrod with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show.
Okay, I was waiting for this. Yesterday we heard Biden's story that his uncle was eaten by cannibals in Papua New Guinea after being shot down during World War II. Great story. Great story. Completely made up, you know, almost certainly false, but like everything else Biden says, false, but also a good story. I was waiting for the inevitable follow-up where we hear from people who are very troubled by this racist claim about cannibalism. That's the part we knew was coming. And now we have it. This is from the Daily Mail. Outraged Papua New Guinea academics have slammed President Joe Biden for his unacceptable suggestion that his uncle was eaten by cannibals in the country after his plane was shot down during World War II. Biden implied on two occasions Wednesday that his maternal uncle was eaten by cannibals in Papua New Guinea. Okay. Historically, cannibalism has been reported in Papua New Guinea, the Pacific nation that occupies the eastern half of the island of New Guinea. But local academics say that Biden's categorization of the act is very offensive. So they're not taking issue with, like, yes, there was cannibalism, but he's portraying the cannibalism in a negative light. He's making it sound bad, like it's bad to eat people. And that's the problem. Michael Kabuni, a political science lecturer at the University of Papua New Guinea, told The Guardian, cannibalism was previously practiced by some communities in very specific contexts, and that locals, quote, wouldn't just eat any white man that fell from the sky. Other analysts branded Biden's claims as unsubstantiated and poorly judged, especially during a time in which the U.S. has been trying to strengthen its ties with Papua New Guinea. Outraged academics have slammed President Joe Biden, saying it's unacceptable. Kabuni argued that the Melanesian people, which includes those from Papua New Guinea, are very proud and would be offended by Biden's generalization of cannibalism. He explained how cannibalism was not practiced due to a lack of food, but instead as a sign of respect in very specific contexts, such as eating a deceased relative's body to prevent it from decomposing. So I guess what we're getting from this is if you ever go to Papua New Guinea, make sure they don't respect you, because it's bad news. If you're in Papua New Guinea and anyone ever says to you, no, I really respect you, that's bad. Get out of there quick. And I love this because, you know, you think at first that the Papua New Guinea academics are going to deny that people from Papua New Guinea would ever engage in cannibalism. But instead, they're saying, well, this is outrageous. We aren't cannibals all the time. We won't eat just anyone who falls out of the sky. We wouldn't have eaten Joe Biden's uncle. Gross. We have a much more discerning palate than that. We're very select. We don't eat anyone who falls out of the sky. We eat some of the people who fall out of the sky, but we're selective about it. We cannibalize because we love, is what they're saying.
We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Attention all gardening enthusiasts. It's time to celebrate 50 years of greenery and growth at Gold Leaf Nursery in Reading. That's right, folks. For almost a half a century, Gold Leaf Nursery has been your go-to destination for all things garden-related. And to mark this incredible milestone, they're throwing the biggest sale this year. The nursery is blooming with vibrant perennials and annuals, hardy shrubs, succulents, and majestic trees, vegetables, herbs, roses, ground coverings, along with 1 gallon or larger and all bag soil amendments. Their extensive selection ensures that there's something for every taste and style. And don't forget about their premium selection of statuaries, fountains, and bird baths to add that perfect finishing touch. At Gold Leaf Nursery, they're not just about selling plants. They're about cultivating joy, creating memories, and nurturing connections with nature. Come visit them today and let them help turn your outdoor space into a sanctuary you'll love coming home to. Thanks for voting Gold Leaf Nursery best in the North State. Come check them out on Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road. Open Tuesday through Saturday.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hey, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Now, this is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right, even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio. Butcher.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. I also love the suggestion that, and in fact, you hear this a lot when this issue of cannibalism and primitive tribes comes up. What you'll hear is that, well, it was totally different because they weren't doing it out of hunger. But hold on a second. Doesn't that make it worse? Right? You know, if they were if they were staving off starvation and they turned to cannibalism, I would still be opposed to that. But isn't that, ethically speaking, arguably more justifiable than doing it when you're not even hungry? Like, you know, just doing it ritualistically. This is not the plane crash in the Andes with the soccer team in the 70s that resorted to cannibalism because they were starving to death. I would think of, when you have that situation compared to a situation where primitive tribesmen are eating people and they're not even hungry. Like, there's plenty of other, they've got fish in the sea. They've got plenty of fruits and vegetables. I would think that the latter case is worse, ethically speaking. But this is a very awkward conversation for these academics, and they don't like it when it comes up because one thing you notice when you study the history of first contact, when you read the stories of Westerners encountering primitive tribes around the world, and I've read a lot of these kinds of stories from whether it's the North American continent, South American, somewhere in the Pacific Islands, Africa, whatever. One thing you notice is that cannibalism was actually extremely common in these cultures. Now, I know for me growing up in school, the reality of these native cultures wasn't, they didn't go into much detail, but they certainly made it sound like this sort of thing was very, very uncommon. It almost never happened. But then you read about it, you realize that, no, it's like really common. Cannibalism is a very common thing. Human sacrifice, very, very common. And Western explorers were running into this sort of barbarism all the time. Everywhere they went, they were running into it. And that's very awkward for left-wing academics and leftists in general. It's a very awkward thing. And it's awkward because for a few reasons. And one is that it makes it a little bit harder to mourn the loss of some of these cultures, to mourn the fact that so many of them were conquered. It's a little bit harder to mourn that when you look at it and you realize that this was total barbarism that was going on. But also, since we're talking about context, and you know, when we discuss these historical events and historical people, and especially the interactions between Westerners and these primitive tribes. The academics will always tell us, well, context is key. We need context. We need to have context. We have to have context for the cannibalism that they were engaging in, the human sacrifice. But if they were sacrificing a child, murdering a child and ripping his heart out and then eating it, we need context to understand it. Well, they want context for that, but they never want context for the other side. They never want any context for the Europeans, the Westerners, and their behavior and their responses. We're not supposed to have any context for that. But what you see is that there was context, that there is a really important context. Because even when Europeans committed atrocities, which sometimes they did, not often, but sometimes they did, even in those circumstances, you see that they were dealing with truly savage and shocking and horrifying behavior. I mean, they were dealing with things just out of a nightmare, like hellish sights these people were seeing, that you can't even imagine what that must be like. And that not only made them angry, but it also led them to the conclusion that these people were not exactly equal to them as Europeans. And it's very, again, very easy for us in the modern day to say, well, that's unacceptable. How the universal equality of man is obvious. Everyone should see it. Actually, it's not obvious. You've been raised with that doctrine, so it's obvious to you. But it is a doctrine, and it's a relatively modern one. Not relative, it's a very modern doctrine. And for most of human history, it was not obvious to anyone. In fact, it never even occurred to anyone for thousands of years that all people are equal in some sort of spiritual sense. It just didn't occur to anyone from any culture. They never would have said that. And so you've got these Europeans who they don't have that, right? They don't have that framework that we all have. We're all born and we're told from birth everyone's equal. Well, these Europeans were not, they were not told that. They didn't have that framework any more than these other cultures did. And so they're going around the world and they pull up, they land on some foreign shore and they see naked people run out of the forest engaging in ritualistic cannibalism and human sacrifice. Is it really hard to understand from their perspective 200 years ago or 300 years ago or longer? Is it really hard to understand why they might have had trouble recognizing the universal equality of man in those circumstances? Is it really that difficult in context? And if we can give context to actual cannibalistic acts and acts of pure savagery and butchery, if we can give context to that, then why can't we give context to this? Has always been my question. Anyway, but still, Joe Biden made all that up. So that was originally the topic I ventured away from a little bit. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Hello, everyone. For all of you who suffer from calcium oxalate stones, here is some free advice. Tip one, drink plenty of water. It takes a lot of water to dilute and pass the substances that lead to stones. Tip two, modify your diet. You'll need to limit sodium, cut your meat.
Tired of difficult lifestyle changes that often don't work? If you suffer from calcium oxalate stones, now there's help. KidneyCop, calcium oxalate protector. Add KidneyCop to your routine as a way to potentially reduce or even stop the formation of calcium oxalate stones. KidneyCop is a dietary supplement developed by doctors and pharmacists. It's been proven in laboratory tests to reduce the rate of calcium oxalate crystal growth by 99%. That's right, 99%. Just take KidneyCop. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. You can purchase affordable KidneyCop today by visiting Amazon.com, Walmart.com, or KidneyCop.com. Yes, you can start enjoying life again. Purchase KidneyCop at Amazon.com, Walmart.com, or KidneyCop.com. Today.
These statements have not been reviewed by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Sponsored by Calcium Oxalate Labs, Inc.
We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, Attorney at Law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens. Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
Same required to qualify.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show.
In December of 2021, the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, issued what she called a message to the world. And this was somewhat unusual because, as the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul's job is to deliver messages to New Yorkers. But on this occasion, she decided to speak to a much larger audience. And here's what she said after reading the poem from the Statue of Liberty, quote, "Send us your people. Send us those who need the cloak of comfort that we can demonstrate as New Yorkers with big hearts and open arms, and we'll provide a safe haven. We want people to come here despite where they came from. We'll not only house you, but we will protect you." Well, that's what she said, and what followed is exactly what you would expect. More than 10,000 illegals started pouring into New York City every month, looking for the cloak of comfort that Kathy Hochul offered them. They took her up on that offer. And now, as I mentioned before, they're being housed in schools and airports and furniture stores because the shelters, including government-subsidized hotels, are overrun. Now, this is a very well-rehearsed deflection that you'll hear from Hochul if you bring any of this up. And this is a reply that local news stations in New York will parrot at every opportunity since effectively they work for Kathy Hochul. Watch.
Governor, I want to ask you about one of the many issues that New Yorkers are facing in the whole country is the issue around immigration. So mayors across the country, are pleading for more federal government assistance. New York alone had 178,000 migrants who came into the state, and there's been issues around housing, schooling, medicine for these people, and it's draining billions from city budgets. Now, Mayor Adams has raised the idea of changing sanctuary city laws so that migrants aren't flocking to major cities. Do you support this, and what do you think needs to be done to fix this influx of migration?
Well, first of all, let's just say we are a nation of immigrants. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here because my grandparents were teenagers in Ireland leaving great poverty. Grandpa started as a migrant farm worker himself in South Dakota in the wheat fields. They were domestic servants in Chicago until they heard about the promised land of Buffalo, New York. You could make steel with your hands and get a good paying union job. And that's what changed my whole family's history. Those jobs are here in the state of New York.
Before we ask you some really important questions, I want to know if you would like to do a dentist commercial. Since you are a governor of New York State, maybe in South Dakota.
The implication here is that America is a nation of immigrants who work hard, like Kathy Hochul's Irish grandparents. And whatever we do, we shouldn't demonize people who come here and want to work hard. We shouldn't point out that we're importing the dregs of society into our country right now. If you speak in platitudes instead, then you'll get applauded by the audience of The View, and you can keep your job running New York into the ground. What's left unsaid here is that there is, in fact, a very definite difference between the immigrants of old and the new variety that we're importing. Aside from the fact that these new entrants are all breaking the law in the most flagrant fashion imaginable, but on top of that, immigrants in the old days would come here with a spirit of gratitude and humility, hoping to build a life. And in the process, they helped to build the country because they were coming here at a time when the country was not itself completely built. They did what Kathy Hochul's grandparents did, which is work hard. But immigrants now are coming to a country already completely settled and built. These are not pioneers, you know, going out west into the wilderness to establish settlements. They're coming into something that's already been made, and they're very clearly hoping to benefit from it without necessarily contributing anything to it. And that's one of the key differences between the old immigrants and the people entering the country right now. And that difference was on full display this week at New York City's City Hall, which
for some reason, held a hearing on the experiences of African migrants in the city. Essentially, this was a hearing on the plight of black illegals who come into the city. According to City Council member Alex Aviles, who organized the hearing, it's important to understand, quote, the experiences of black immigrants and to uproot the anti-blackness that plagues our system of care. And this work requires a city willing to fund our short, mid, and long-term needs. Over 1,000 people showed up, most of them recent arrivals from West Africa. Many of them were apparently looking for work permits, which they thought would be handed out. And that's pretty funny when you think about it. These people come to this country with absolutely no regard for the law. And the first thing they hear is that Democrats are holding a hearing. And they immediately assume that they're going to get free stuff at the hearing. That's the automatic assumption right now for these arrivals. And they were shocked to learn that actually, in this one instance, they would not be getting free stuff. Instead, they'd be getting a chance to complain and whine for hours on end. So that's what they did. Here's a representative complaint from one of these people. Listen.
But at the shelter, the food, my kids cannot eat the food at the shelter. And on Ramadan time, we couldn't eat because when you come back for the breaks, the food is no good at all.
Food's no good at all. Wow, what a shame. She goes on to complain about a bunch of other things besides the food for Ramadan. She complains that she can't find a school for her kid, as well as the fact that she apparently had to leave a shelter after 2 months and find another one. Now, it's hard to listen to any of it because the total lack of gratitude and humility is frankly appalling. These people are demanding everything and not necessarily offering anything in return. There was not a single moment during this hearing where these West Africans told New York City how they were excited to contribute to the local economy. They never said how grateful they were to leave a country where the GDP is about 70 times lower than it is in the United States. Instead, they're complaining about the free cuisine provided by the government. They're upset about the housing that they're not paying for. This is a city where many young people, American citizens, okay, cannot afford housing. But New York City's city council is not concerned about them. So instead, we're treated to even more whining. At one point, these foreigners complained about the lack of adequate translation services. They also berated New York for being a racist hellhole because the government isn't providing them a translator who understands every dialect that they speak. They never explained why they traveled thousands of miles to live in this racist hellhole in the first place. But they did make it clear that they're not happy here and it's not up to their standards. Watch.
This is shameful time in New York history. This city is not friendly for all people. It is anti-African and xenophobic. Cette ville n'est pas du tout accueillante pour les Africains. Elle est raciste et xénophobe. Only in the Congo you have like more than 500 languages. Swahili is being spoken in Burundi. So I can speak with somebody from Burundi. But I cannot speak Swahili with somebody from Mauritania. You understand? In Europe, a Turkish don't talk for a French. A French don't talk for a Spanish. So why it is that you will put everybody in Africa in the same bag and thinking that because they speak Asanya, because they speak Pol, everybody will understand. You see, I told you Hakuna Matata, you couldn't understand anything. You see, so that's what we need. We need people that speak the native language to teach to those people. That's what we're asking the city, and the city refused to acclimat.
Okay, so leave. So leave. This place is xenophobic, it's racist, it's horrible for us. Okay, well, leave. Nobody asked you to come here. No one invited you, no one asked you to come. Certainly no one put a gun to your head and told you to come here. We didn't force you to come. So just leave then. It's a pretty simple solution. If you hate it so much, if it's so terrible to you, why are you here? Like, it's like someone barging into your house and then sitting on your couch and complaining that the couch isn't comfortable. I don't like this. This is not my favorite couch. Okay. Well, you weren't invited, so you can leave. This is my couch, not yours. Like, go get your own couch. I don't know. Yes, how dare New York City not provide 500 different translators for every dialect spoken in just one African country? You know, in all, there are something like 7,000 languages spoken in the whole world. And apparently, New York is supposed to have a translator for every single one of them. If not, they're xenophobic. This is the level of entitlement that we're dealing with. And we're getting it from people who are coming from third world hellholes. They come here from the third world and then immediately inherit a first world sense of entitlement. It's pretty extraordinary, really. Now, it goes without saying that the Irish immigrants who came to this country in the 19th century did not try to pull any of this. They didn't have an opportunity to, even if they wanted to. No one would have indulged any of this nonsense. So they got to work. They made the economic contributions that Kathy Hochul loves to brag about. What's uncomfortable for people like Kathy Hochul is that the Irish endured a lot of discrimination along the way, and leftists will claim that they're determined to avoid a similar situation unfolding again. But no discrimination is necessary to fix what's happening in New York. All that's necessary is to tell every single person who comes to this country, regardless of their immutable characteristics, that they need to do it legally or get the hell out. And no matter how they get here, there's no excuse for whining for hours to the city council about all the perks they want to have. The moment they do that, they should be put on a boat back to where they came from. You know, if that's discrimination, it's discrimination that's based on behavior, which any functioning society must embrace if it wants to survive. Now, as far as I can tell, Vicky Palladino was one of the only council members at this hearing who spoke up in any way against this insanity. And at the same time, she didn't really say anything close to what was necessary, because what was necessary, what someone needed to say was exactly what I just said, which is, if you don't like it, leave. Okay, how about a thank you? How about the first words out of your mouth if you're going to sit there in our country at this hearing and we're inviting you to come and speak? First words out of your mouth should be thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here. Thank you for providing all the things that you have provided. So I would have loved for someone to say that. Of course, that wasn't going to happen. Instead, we got this. Watch.
But I'd like to say this. In listening to everybody speak and making demands on New York City to do more, 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 how much more are we supposed to do? How much more are we capable of doing? This system is so overworked and overburdened. We don't have the resources that you need to get what you need. I mean, your testimonies move me tremendously. I don't want to see anybody mistreated in any sort of way. But I have to ask you, what motivated you to come here thinking the streets are paved with gold? They're not. They're absolutely not. And you're living through that.
Now, the answer to the question of what made you come here is pretty obvious. The governor of the state begged them to come. The federal government suspended the enforcement of immigration law and promised them all kinds of benefits, including work permits and indefinite asylum. And their country is incredibly poor. So, I mean, why wouldn't they come here? But that's the thing. I don't, as annoyed as I am by the entitlement, by the lack of gratitude, by how self-serving it is, I understand self-serving. I get it. Any person understands that. In fact, you know, coming here is a rational choice. You could argue they're the only rational actors in this whole scenario. They have every incentive to continue complaining because so far it's worked out pretty well for them. If they complain, they get what they want. What's needed now is for New York's leaders to tell these West Africans that they're getting nothing and then deport them if they're here illegally. But of course that will never happen. Kathy Hochul will never tell the audience of The View that these immigrants are nothing like her grandfather, you know, and that it's an entirely different situation and that people who come here illegally are, you know, and all that. The audience would not clap like seals if she did that, so she's not going to say that. So instead, they'll continue to enjoy Kathy Hochul's cloak of comfort, as she calls it, which simply means indefinite access to New York's ever-dwindling treasury. American citizens will continue to flee New York. And eventually, when New York's treasury can't afford to give these people anything more, they'll spread out throughout the country. And that's already happening, of course, but it will accelerate in a major way once New York and the rest of the country falls apart. Because there's one basic common sense truth here. If you import the third world en masse, you become the third world. And once that happens, you won't be in a position to take care of the third world anymore. And much more importantly, you won't be in a position to take care of yourself. And that's why the migrants complaining about their accommodations at that hearing are today canceled. That's all we have for today and this week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Until then, Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tasha Stevens. The House has pushed a $95 billion national security aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan closer to passage. A key procedural vote gained approval Friday to move ahead with the bill. House Speaker Mike Johnson said the aid package is the product of a divided government.
This is the best possible product.
Iran's foreign minister is dismissing Israel's recent airstrike on the country. Early Friday, Israel launched drone strikes. Iran acted as though it was inconsequential. Cliff May with the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy says there's a fundamental flaw with the president's approach to foreign aggression, and it's exposed every time he says the U.S. doesn't want to escalate tensions.
There is a real problem with the U.S. and really with the West in general of not wanting to win wars, of not thinking war should be won, of not using words like victory for us or defeat for our enemies.
May was interviewed this week by Salem Radio Network. Lawmakers are considering a proposal to establish a Stand Your Ground law in New Jersey. The bill would expand the use of force when acting in self-defense, meaning one does not have to run away from an assailant. The Republican-backed proposal is expected to fail in the Democrat-controlled legislature. New York police say the man who set himself on fire outside of the courthouse is in critical condition. Some first responders were hurt trying to douse the flame, but will be okay. NYPD chief of police said the man drove from Florida to New York City earlier in the week. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Key factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Are you over 30 and putting off life insurance? It's time to get a quick quote from Ethos, a better, easier way to get term life insurance. All online with no medical exam. Answer a few health questions and you could be approved for up to $2 million. Isn't it worth 10 minutes to help protect your family's financial security? Ethos, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at checkethos.com. That's checkethos.com.
Google says it will combine the software division responsible for Android mobile software and the Chrome browser with the hardware division known for Pixel smartphones and Fitbit wearables.
It's part of a broader push to integrate artificial intelligence more widely throughout the company. Google is also reorganizing its AI research and responsibility groups, although those changes mostly won't directly affect consumer products. The decision will place both operations under the oversight of a Google executive who previously oversaw the company's hardware group.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Meanwhile, the CEO of Google is telling employees that they need to know that Google's a business, not a place to disrupt coworkers, make them feel unsafe, or to fight over disruptive issues and debate politics. The comments come in a blog post after 9 employees were arrested for staging a protest against Google's ties with Israel. News and analysis at townhall.com. The Olympic flame is spending the night at the ancient Acropolis in Athens.
During a lull in heavy rain, a torchbearer lit a cauldron in front of the 2,500-year-old Parthenon Temple on the citadel that dominates the Athens skyline. The flame will stay there until the champagne-colored torch travels to the ancient Greek religious center, Delphi. The flame will be delivered to French officials next Friday at the renovated ancient marble stadium where the first mock modern games were held in 1896. Then at Athens, Porto Piraeus, the flame will then board a three-masted French sailing ship built that same year and is expected to arrive in France on May 8th. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The puck drops on the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs this weekend. Saturday, the New York Islanders take on the Carolina Hurricanes in Raleigh. And the Toronto Maple Leafs travel to Boston for Game 1 against the Bruins. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hello, this is Roland from the Flag Center. Are you thinking about a new flagpole for Memorial Day or 4th of July? Well, now is a good time. Currently, our high-quality Titan telescoping poles are on sale at prices too low to advertise. These beautiful silver or dark bronze poles are backed by a lifetime warranty and wind rated at 95 miles per hour. The Flag Center, 2124 Hilltop Drive, since 1982.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Red Bluff Roundup is on. April 19th, 20th, and 21st. Get your tickets now. Over $350,000 is up for grabs for 700 competitors. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab the good seats while you can. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is Patriot Day, brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractors. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7. And an after party with live music. Saturday, brought to you by Sierra Pacific Windows, Sierra Pacific Industries, and Red Bluff Dodge. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30. And an evening concert by country music star Chase Matthews. And Sunday is Haleakala and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Roundup office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
Hey, what's going on, Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Good morning, Redding. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Weren't all Jewish students, but I think it was led by Jewish students, and they showed up with Israeli flags and American flags, and they weren't burning them. That's how you knew they weren't Democrats, is they weren't burning the American flags. All American flags in Democrat stores actually come with a Bic lighter, and they don't have Zippos anymore. Zippos are much better for, the Democrats, they love self-immolation too, but that's a separate subject. So it was a fascinating situation. The United States is kind of like Munich, 1933, with the rise of the Socialist Workers' Party there. They hated the Jews, too. They wanted to exterminate. There was no Jewish state to exterminate in the 1930s, so they just wanted to exterminate the Jewish population. Now, see, after World War II, the creation of the Jewish state, 1948, the State of Israel, and that's been upsetting to anti-Semites ever since. And now the Democrat Party has mainstreamed and popularized, really popularized like never before, genocidal anti-Semitism. And it is 100% the Democrat Party. If you're a Jewish American and, you know, you're voting Democrat, you need some psychological help. I can probably help you with that. I really can. Also today, it's worth noting, today is April 19th. April 19th is, it's kind of interesting because April 19th is the anniversary of the Battle of Lexington and Concord. A lot of fun. The beginning of the American Revolution and freedom for the world. But it turns out we're going to have to keep fighting for it century after century because not everybody is interested in this freedom thing. You know what I'm talking about? Massachusetts in the colonies then, April 19th, 1775. And the first battle of the American Revolution, Massachusetts, Gesundheit. The colonists defied British authority, outnumbered, and fought the Redcoats, and embarked on a lengthy war to earn our independence. And the beginning of the American Revolution, it was today, the Battle of Lexington and Concord, and that started it all, got the ball rolling. And it turns out, again, there's no stopping. We can't rest on our laurels, that's for sure, because there are always animals out there that would take away your freedoms and your liberties. And it's worth noting, because it changed the world. It was called the shot heard round the world because all the European monarchs got a wake-up call that day because of brave Americans, you know, before SUVs and Teslas, before iPhones and satellite television. They fought the British, and eventually we gave them a good whooping. Then they came back decades later. We had to give them another whooping, the War of 1812. Bunch of pasty English people. Get out of here. See what I'm talking about? Got like that. So that's worth noting. But there's a lot to talk about. Joe Biden, he's been in Pennsylvania, and he's been saying a lot of really incredibly dumb things, hasn't he? A lot of really dumb things. I love his uncle. What's his uncle? Boozy? His uncle. But all those, what's the real name of the Biden family? Came out of Ireland there. They're the Blewett family, the Blewett family. And somehow it became Biden because they didn't like Blewett. Blewett. The boys didn't like it. The girls didn't like it. Nobody like, hey, we're the Blewetts. And if he were still Joe Blewett, I don't think he would have won the presidency. He probably wouldn't have won the Senate seat back in 1789. That was a long time ago. The Blewett family. But in any case, Joe Biden was out there and saying incredible stuff about his Uncle Boozy, a.k.a. Uncle Boozy, being eaten by cannibals in New Guinea. None of it happened. He wasn't the pilot. He wasn't a single-engine airplane. It wasn't a reconnaissance plane. It wasn't shut down. It didn't crash in New Guinea, and he was not eaten by cannibals. Other than that, it's a pretty good story. And he's actually the fake news media. They're not calling him on it, but a lot of people are appropriately making fun of him. That's why we need what we call, you know, alternative media, and that's me, and Newsmax and Fox News and a few others. Talk radio being very important. That's why they want to destroy talk radio. Had their creepy billionaires take over talk radio. But we'll get into that later too. All kinds of amazing stuff in the last 24 hours. And honestly, I think one of the funniest things is not the funniest thing, but one of the funniest things from yesterday is Ilhan Omar's daughter, whose name is Isra Hirsi. Now, why is her name Isra Hirsi and her mother's name is Ilhan Omar? Are you sure it's your real mother? Because it might not be your real mother. That's kind of weird, don't you think? It is. It's pretty wild out there. But the arrest of Ilhan Omar's daughter. And you remember that Ilhan Omar, the story goes that Ilhan Omar married her brother, married her brother in order to lie and cheat the immigration system on behalf of her brother to make sure that they didn't both end up with black scorpions crawling over their sun-bleached bones in the wind-blown desert. And they came to the United States, and now Ilhan Omar is here as a fifth columnist to undermine the United States and Western civilization because she's an enemy of the United States, an enemy of Western civilization, and a Democrat in good standing, like the jihadis on the campus of Columbia University yesterday, who were chanting, and they were doing from the river to the sea, you know, wipe Israel off the map, kill all the Jews, you know, they're not telling jokes. They're not like high school kids telling jokes. They're serious. They're genocidal anti-Semites. They're genocidal racists. And some of them are Middle Eastern jihadis wearing their Yasser Arafat headdresses and stuff, the Palestinian headdresses and things. But I would say probably 50% plus one are white liberals. I'm making quotation marks with my fingers, who go to Ivy League institutions. And the left teaches that the Jews are genocidal maniacs and that the radical Islamic jihadi terrorists, who are the actual genocidal maniacs, are the victims of the Jews who are genocidal maniacs. And if that makes sense to you, then, you know, you are probably a danger to public schools in your neighborhood for a number of reasons. Speaking of which, in Montgomery County yesterday, they announced the arrest of an 18-year-old woman who identifies as a man and was on the brink, they say, of going to a school and murdering everybody because the person named Andrea, who identifies as Alex, and so the Washington Post just goes with the... It's an amazing piece in the Washington Post. They have the piece in the Metro section, not in the A section, but in the Metro sectional they have it. And it's amazing. They just talk about Alex, never mentioning that Alex is really Andrea, never mentioning that Alex is a transgender identifying person who was going to be the next in line of transgender mass murderers like the Christian school in Nashville, Tennessee, where the woman identifying as a man, right? It's hard to keep track, so many of them. And then the Club Q in Colorado Springs where that was, I think, was that a woman? I think it was a man identifying as a woman. Massacre there had to be stopped by a big, strong, brave, cisgender, heterosexual army officer man who was demonstrating his toxic masculinity, for which the Democrats have such disdain and contempt. But I want to get into the Andrea Alex story because the news media is so fantastically corrupt that the Washington Post... You can read the whole Washington Post piece and scratch your head several times saying, what are they trying to say? But they never say it because they're pro-transgender child, and this person, now 18, an adult, and was gonna, had, you know, written a long diatribe, a manifesto, which the media is not calling a manifesto, right? Have they released the manifesto from the Nashville mass murderer, transgender mass murderer, because that person had a manifesto, and they were talking about releasing it, and then the news media just buried it in a shallow grave near Las Vegas, as they do with so many of these things. But this is kind of an amazing story, and CNN, I think, mentioned it, right, the story, but they didn't mention the fact that it's a tranny. The Washington Post talks about the many struggles with mental illnesses and being institutionalized again and again, but never says tranny, right? Transgender, would-be mass murderer, yet another one, even though it's such a minuscule portion of the population. They have an outsized impact on mass murders and things like that. And that's why the news media stays away from it, because they think that's not helpful to their cause. You know how they are when it comes to these things. Just amazing. So a lot going on today, but I do love Ilhan Omar's daughter, whose name is Isra Hirsi, suspended a sentence from Barnard College. It's not Bernard, it's Barnard College, and that's affiliated with the Columbia University. It's the girls' part, which is segregation. You know how they are. They love segregation. In fact, this year, we learned a couple of days ago, there will be more segregated graduation ceremonies than ever before because the Democrat Party is the party of racial segregation, and they always have been. Joe Biden didn't want his kids going to school in a racial jungle in Delaware. We all know that. But Ilhan Omar's daughter, great stuff. Isra Hirsi suspended from Barnard College for her involvement in what this report calls the anti-Israel protests. Anti-Israel protests, which are pro-genocide, pro-anti-Semite, pro-jihad, anti-Western civilization, and all that good stuff. And the fact that, there are all these stories, and the news media, because we don't have a legitimate news media, has never clarified all this. Ilhan Omar allegedly married her brother in order to cheat the immigration system. And so Ilhan Omar's daughter, Isra Hirsi, put out a statement saying, "I have embarrassed my mother, my father, and my uncle, the two most important people in my life." I'm sorry, what? The two most important, but that's three people. Well, not really. Her father and her uncle and her father. It's kind of like the movie Chinatown, you know. She's my sister, she's my daughter, she's my sister, she's my daughter. Yeah, the pro-jihad, also in Canada, Toronto, Canada, they've got jihadis there, too. There are fifth columnists living among us. There is a fifth column in the United States and in Canada, too, that are here to undermine our culture. They're waging war against us from within. And the Democrats have gotten into bed with them. They're not on our side. So we've got that. And Joe Biden, lots of dumb stuff. Lots of dumb stuff that Joe Biden said. Pretty remarkable. President Trump back in court today. They impaneled 12 jurors by the close of business yesterday. They lost two yesterday, two jurors, while we were on the air. And I've got updates for you on that. Yes, sir. Lake and Riley's name in the news, not because of Democrats. And you're listening to the Allman Brothers. The great Dickie Betts died yesterday of the Allman Brothers at the age of 80. So you might be hearing some more Allman Brothers today as well. We are at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with everything I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of dry AMD called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, colors appear dull or washed out. For others, hazy or blurred vision make it hard to see details, like fine print on price tags. Many have trouble seeing in the dark, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you think you have GA, don't wait. Treatments are available. Ask a retina specialist about FDA-approved treatments for GA and go to gawon'twait.com.
Tyler from Wendy's here. The best part of Wendy's new Cinnabon Pull-Apart is every part. Unlike mornings, which have no good parts. Until now. Because with Wendy's new breakfast Cinnabon Pull-Apart, mornings finally don't completely suck. And now that mornings have warm cinnamon sugar rolled dough and ooey gooey frosting, are they the best part of every day? Probably not, but you get the idea. Get to Wendy's today and get the best part in every bite with the new Cinnabon Pull-Apart.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, Cinnabon is a registered trademark of Cinnabon franchise or SPD LLC.
COVID-19 has cast a spotlight on the stark inequalities that drive poverty. The poorest communities in the U.S. and around the world are suffering the most. Oxfam believes we can put systems in place to protect health and livelihoods in the future if we work together with dignity and compassion. Learn how you can help offer safety to the most vulnerable and fight for a more resilient future at OxfamAmerica.org. Sponsored by Oxfam America.
Are you retired or retiring soon? Do you know how much money you need to live comfortably? Retirement Planners of America is here for you. These may feel like scary times. Several economists are saying that a recession is imminent. So what do you do? Ancient wisdom says plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Would you like to have financial peace of mind? Here's how. Step 1. Find out the amount of money you'll need to retire. Step 2. Have an actionable plan to get there. Step 3. Make sure that plan is executed to take advantage of market gains, but protect you from market losses. We would like to give you a free, no-obligation consultation to help you do all three. We will help you discover your magic number and give you the roadmap to get there. Call now to schedule your free consultation. 800-508-6108. That's 800-508-6108. 800-508-6108. Don't wait. Call 800-508-6108.
All investments involve risk, including losses. Past performance does not guarantee future results.
Times of transition, whether from a sad event or a joyful one, can leave us feeling adrift. Social connections are an important part of a healthy life. Being isolated and lonely can be harmful to your health. It can lead to high blood pressure, a greater risk of heart disease, and early onset dementia. So it's important to build and maintain connections to people, not just in your family, but others whose relationships bring meaning to your life. Trying a new hobby, volunteering, exercising, even using your phone or other device to stay in touch with others. All these can be great ways to keep up your social connections and your physical and mental well-being. Visit connecttoeffect.org to see if you're at risk of social isolation and find ways to get connected.
This message is furnished by United Healthcare and AARP Foundation.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtBlue is here for you. With DebtBlue's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtBlue are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Get ready for grilling season with the Ultimate Burger Perfection Flight for just $89.99 when you shop OmahaSteaks.com and use promo code SIZZLE at checkout. That's 24 rich and juicy Omaha Steaks pure ground burgers. They're guaranteed to deliver an explosive combination of tenderness, juiciness, and unmatched quality. Each 6-ounce burger is guaranteed to satisfy with every bite. That's OmahaSteaks.com, SIZZLE at checkout to unlock this exclusive deal. Hurry, supplies are limited.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Also in Paris, France, home of Louis Pasteur. Well, not anymore. In Paris, France, French security forces, armored vehicles, have surrounded the Iranian consulate in Paris, France, because a man with grenades or a suicide belt has entered the facility and threatened to blow himself up. Police think he might be a Democrat. Not entirely sure yet. Like the guy at the Israeli embassy recently that set himself on fire to kill himself. Democrats aren't what they used to be, am I right? Let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Chris, calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. Christopher, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Thanks for taking my call. I think the Republicans should focus on opposing aid to Ukraine and all foreign aid. I think it's more important that we spend the foreign aid budget to relieve suffering in this country, all types of suffering, homelessness and what have you. Giving $60 billion away is going to get us nowhere. And it's going to hurt Republicans in November because the Trump part of the Republican Party is opposed to all foreign aid. And I think that Representative Green getting rid of Johnson is it should be top priority. What do you think?
Well, I think, honestly, with the Speaker, I think it's too early for that. And I understand your position on the $60 billion for Ukraine, and it would be nice to see the U.S. government paying attention to the United States of America, like our border and securing our border, since we're importing literally millions of illegal aliens, many gang members, human traffickers, drug traffickers. I'd like to see us secure our own border, and then, yeah, a focus on us for a while. That would be good.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hello, this is Rollin from the Flag Center. Are you thinking about a new flagpole for Memorial Day or 4th of July? Well, now is a good time. Currently, our high-quality Titan telescoping poles are on sale at prices too low to advertise. These beautiful silver or dark bronze poles are backed by a lifetime warranty and wind rated at 95 miles per hour. The Flag Center, 2124 Hilltop Drive, since 1982.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence. You can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Hi friends, Tobacco and Brew here with a new cigar of the humidor. La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Straight from the estate of Don Pepin Garcia comes this excellently crafted cigar. Profound notes of nougat, leather, molasses, and cedar please the palate throughout. La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Be sure to get yours today. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Life is always easier when we make good decisions. Taking care of your vehicle with regular maintenance is a smart decision that will save you money. Going to Premier Oil Change for regular maintenance is another great decision and an easy way to maintain your new car warranty. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Come experience fast drive-through service with no appointment required. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. And in Anderson, across from Roundtable, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
The Shasta College summer term will start June 10th, and priority registration has started. Contact a counselor and check out all the cool classes being offered this summer. Get a jump start on a degree or certificate, or get transfer ready by taking one of the many classes held this summer at Shasta College. Go to www.shastacollege.edu/admissions to get started.
Hey,
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
It's April, so you know what that means. Hot cars! And cool April nights is back, April 19th to the 28th. It's going to be bigger than ever. So mark your calendar for 10 days of classic car fun. This year has more show and shine, a drive-in movie, cornhole tournament with $1,000 in prizes. Don't forget to dust off your lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday, April 26th. End the week by coming to the biggest show and shine of them all at the Civic Auditorium on Saturday, April 27th. There will be 2,000 classic cars on display, tons of great food, a variety of vendors, and lots of chances to win prizes at our annual Poker Walk or Raffle City. Get your tickets today at any of the 8 local Napa Auto Parts stores to avoid the line. Cool April Nights returns April 19th to the 28th, so mark your calendars. For a full schedule of events, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
His puppet masters are genocidal anti-Semites and pro-radical Islam, and, you know, so we got that. But now I digress. Back to Chris in Woodbridge and the aid to Ukraine, which should be going to the United States. We've already given them more than $100 billion. There's no end in sight, this war. We can give them $60 billion every 6 months, and all the... And then they brag, our Secretary of State, who's an idiot, bragged that 90% of it stays right here in the United States and goes to the military-industrial complex, to military contractors. And I'm all in favor of strong American military contractors and the strongest U.S. military. We've got to be the strongest in the world. And, in fact, that's becoming more and more true with each rotation of the planet, with China on the rise, radical Islam on the rise, radical Islam on the rise inside the United States of America, inside the Democratic Party. and so on. So I'm all for the military-industrial complex, but I'm not for a reckless, irresponsible, nobody watching where the money's going spending. And in Ukraine, nobody's watching where the money's going. And then our chief diplomat tells us, don't worry, it's all going to bombs. Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. Now, with that said, the Speaker of the House, I'm just not ready to hang the Speaker of the House. I'm not. Mike Johnson is he's kind of an old-fashioned Republican, and he's not a bare-knuckles brawler. He's not. At least he has not proven to be thus far, and I do not expect him to become a bare-knuckles brawler. And the reason that so many Republican voters and so many Americans love Donald Trump is because he is a bare-knuckles brawler, and he will get in there. And, you know, he's a counter-puncher. That's the word that's been used to describe him probably more than any other word. But when they attack, and that's all they do is attack the left, the pro-jihad, anti-Israel left, the Democrat Party, most Republicans don't punch back. You know, the Mitt Romneys of the world and even the John McCains and so on. But Donald Trump punches back, and that's what's great about him. Now, one of the things that's great about him, Mike Johnson doesn't seem to be a guy who punches back. But he's settling into a completely corrupted and disastrous U.S. Congress, which has been derailed again and again. All these fake government shutdowns, these omnibus bills, where they say, hey, I know, let's include funding for Ukraine and for the Indo-Pacific, which is mostly Taiwan, and for Israel and for Satan, and we'll combine them all into one giant bill that'll be 6,000 pages long and nobody will read it, and it'll be $400 billion. Nobody knows what's in it. The newspapers applaud it, not knowing what's in it. And we used to have this thing we called regular order on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., and in the United States of America. And regular order meant that we had a Congress that acted like a Congress. We had committees that specialized in the Middle East and Israel, committees that specialized in Taiwan and China, committees that specialized in Ukraine and in other areas, Iran, and all of that. The Democrats give away the store to Iran. And what Mike Johnson says he's trying to do is he's trying to restore regular order to the Congress. So we don't have these ridiculous, stupid, nobody reads them, $400 billion pieces of legislation. I had to check myself there. Pieces of legislation that we have inflicted upon us, and we just add it to our tab, a $34 trillion debt. And what we don't do is we don't have committee hearings with witnesses where we debate the funding to Ukraine, the funding to Israel, and then the committees present their theoretically polished bills to the entire House of Representatives where it can be debated on the floor and then voted on the floor. That's how Congress is supposed to work. That's not how it works anymore. Because the Democrats, and to a much lesser extent, the Republicans too, but overwhelmingly because of the Democrats. And our $34 trillion national debt is ridiculous, and people should be imprisoned for that, if not literally, then virtually. And we had a couple of several Mike Johnson audio sound bites day before yesterday, and we were overtaken by events, as they say, OBE. And didn't get to the Mike Johnson cuts from day before yesterday, but I want to share them with you now. And really, Chris, this is for you. And I understand your disdain for the process and the ridiculous foreign aid system that we have set up, and another $60 billion on top of $113 billion for Ukraine. And nobody's talking peace. Nobody's monitoring where the money goes. The Democrats want to make sure that we don't monitor where the money goes. Republicans are saying, well, we can't just give them $60 billion for a never-ending war with no end in sight and no peace process underway and not know where the money's going. And Ukraine is one of the most corrupt countries in the Western-ish world. And you know that a lot of these dollars are buying houses in Malta and buying yachts and buying private airplanes. We've seen it again and again and again. And the Democrats are pounding the table again. Millions went to the Biden family from Ukraine. which is a very corrupt family, and we have a president of the United States named Biden. But let's go to a Mike Johnson from a couple of days ago that we didn't get to. Trying to restore what we call regular order, where Congress looks like Congress, don't have these idiotic bills. That, oh, no, there's another government shutdown on Friday. And the news media is the most corrupt institution in America, and they're in bed with the Democrats. And they tell us Timmy's scout troop can't go to Jellystone, and it's all the Republicans' fault. And it's all a lie. It's all a giant lie. Mike Johnson just trying to restore some semblance of sanity and order on Capitol Hill.
We didn't think it was fair or right for the House to be, rolled by the Senate. They sent us a large bill where everything was merged together, the Senate supplemental. That was not the will of the House. The will of the House is to address it in single subjects, you know, in regular order, in a regular process, with an amendment process. That's the way this is supposed to work. So that's what we're going to do this week.
Amendment process. Wow. See, that's how Congress is supposed to work. But our Congress is so broken that it's unrecognizable as a Western institution. And our news media never stands up and says, well, nothing is working the way it's supposed to work. Yet, presumably, some of them at least, some of them must have three-digit IQs, recognize that nothing is working as it is designed to work, as it should work, as it worked until not too long ago, where the members of Congress on the committees theoretically have some expertise in the area, and they make proposals, they present them, they debate them in committee, they have meetings, they stay up all night sometimes behind closed doors, and they put together bills that they then present to the full House. And there are Democrats there to corrupt everything, of course, and to look for ways to steal money all over the place. And you got to fight it, but the Senate says, oh, no, we're going to put it all together. And that's why nothing ever happens, 6,000-page bill, shut the government down, blame the Republicans because of a corrupt media. It happens over and over and over again. They're like Freddy Krueger movies at this point. It's the same thing over and over again. He would like to restore regular order. He would like to make sure that bills go through committee, then go to the full House before going to the Senate. And the Democrats, including Schumer, want to blow everything up like a suicide bomber in Paris at the Iranian consulate. But never mind that. Mike Johnson.
You'll have four different bills, as you said. You'll have Israel first in the order. Then you'll have the Indo-Pacific region. Then you'll have the Ukraine matter. And then a fourth bill will introduce our other national security priorities. And that'll include additional sanctions for Russia and Iran.
Sanctions to be imposed on Russia. Sanctions to be imposed on Iran. The Democrats corrupt everything. Now, you know, the oil money that Iran is getting from China by the tens of billions they're taking in oil money, supposed to be sanctioned. Biden blew it. Obama blew it. And Joe Biden's real name is Blew It. So we got that. And I got to say, let me say this to you, Chris. I would like to see the Speaker of the House restore regular order, get the Congress back on track, where we have, and they only have the House. Republicans don't have the Senate, and the Lizard King is over there, and he's one of the most corrupt people in the history of the United States, Chuck Schumer. And they've got Joe Blewett in the White House. And so the Speaker of the House has this much power, but not this much power. See what I'm saying? I'm doing hand signals here. And I would like to see regular order restored. And we know that aid is going to go to Israel, and we need it. I'm in favor of Israel aid to kill the troglodytes who are here to slay civilization. And by the way, there are, I don't know how many of them inside the tent here in the United States, but perhaps millions inside the tent that are pro-jihad. A lot of them are white liberals who are on the side of the jihad, and they're anti-Semites, genocidal anti-Semites. But Israel. And by the way, Israel struck Iran last night, and they did not give the U.S. a heads up because there are too many pro-Iran actors at senior levels in the Biden White House and State Department. And the Israelis know that if they tell the Biden White House that the Iranians will get a heads up ahead of time from the Americans that the Israelis are coming, because that's how corrupt the Democrats are and how corrupt the Biden administration is. But in any event, I'm in favor of that aid. The Ukraine aid, the Republicans are saying, Look, Will, because they're kind of outnumbered, they have a very slender majority in the House of Representatives, hard to get anything through. He's got some of his own people jumping on his head and trying to stab his eyes out before he does anything. And I'm not in favor of that right now. I was all in favor of getting rid of Kevin McCarthy. Everybody knows that earlier than anybody else was. I've heard some other people jumping on that thing. Oh, I was always against Kevin McCarthy. But I was always a poor guy. Shouldn't have been Speaker of the House. He can't speak. And then there's the Taiwan money, which they call Indo-Pacific. It's a little more than Taiwan, but mostly Taiwan. And that's about China, the rising threat from China. And these are things that need to be debated publicly. And they're not being debated publicly. They're not even being debated in Congress. And the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, is trying to restore regular order. That's the language. Where bills, you know, like the Sesame Street thing, you know, how a bill becomes a law, and it goes to committee, and the alleged experts and the committees hash it out, and both parties get to throw the kitchen sink in, and that's how that works, and it always has. But when it comes to Ukraine, the Democrats want to make sure, because a lot of pockets have been lined in Washington by Ukraine, and there's a lot of corruption in the United States when it comes to Ukraine. And the relationships that a lot of politicians, Democrats mostly, but also Republicans, have and have had with Ukraine. But this war with Russia is an ongoing thing, and it needs to be debated openly. And Mike Johnson is trying to establish that. And Chris, you say, take that $60 billion, screw Ukraine, and let's spend it. And so we've got homeless veterans that are being kicked out of places in New York to make room for illegal aliens. And we need to get this train back on track. But, Chris, let me say this. I think if we follow Marjorie Taylor Greene's lead and can the brand new, more or less, Speaker of the House, after canning the last Speaker of the House, because he's not putting the border first, and I get it. I do get it. But they don't have total power. It'll just be a shutdown. The narrative will be it's all the Republicans' fault. Mike Johnson's a loser. He's a schmuck. He shut down the government. The Democrats know that the media will write the script for them. So Mike Johnson has the media narrative to fight in addition to everything else. And I don't want to be another one of his enemies when he's just barely started. I want to give him a chance to get the train on track a little bit. Because you got to get it on track a little bit before you can get it on track a lot. And right now, our government is a disaster. Normal would be good. Regular order might be a good start. And fighting these fights one at a time might put them center stage and get the attention of the American people. But right now, it's all just a plane crash into a train over a school for disabled children every day. And, you know, normal would be good. Regular order would be good. And I want to give Mike Johnson a chance.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Well, we're right in the middle of tax season, and you've heard the horror stories. They never end well. You have no greater friends to help you combat that than the team of legal experts at Legal Tax Defense. Chris Plant here with a very important message. If you have unfiled tax returns or you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, call my friends at Legal Tax Defense at 800-472-0467. Don't let tax problems ruin your life. You need to call Legal Tax Defense, the no-nonsense professionals. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and expert in-house tax attorneys and certified agents to help protect you. They've even set up a free special instant tax solution line to call for expert advice. Call my friends at Legal Tax Defense for free consultation today. Let them help solve your tax problems now. Don't wait. Call 800-472-0467. That's 800-472-0467.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now
we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
If spring allergies keep you trapped inside, then you need Navage Nasal Care to keep you breathing clearly and enjoying all the beauties of spring. Navage helps clear nasal passages that are often clogged because of seasonal allergies. Navage gently flushes a pure, refreshing saline solution through your nasal passages to clear out congestion, sucking out that springtime pollen and other irritants trapped in your nose. Navage is available online at Navage.com or in stores at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, and Target. Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E.
Advertisement sponsored by Allied Injury Group, not available in all states. This important message from Allied Injury Group reminds you that if you or someone you love was injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, you deserve financial compensation for your medical expenses, lost wages, pain, and suffering. Don't rely on insurance companies to look out for you. If you haven't spoken to an attorney, call our legal experts now. Work accident, truck accident, collision with an uninsured driver, or a slip and fall. Allied Injury Group has helped clients win hundreds of millions of dollars in damages. They're available 24/7 to take your call and fight for you. Remember, if you or someone you love suffered injuries in an accident that wasn't your fault, like being struck by a drunk driver, a collision with an 18-wheeler, were a victim of workplace negligence or more, get the financial compensation you deserve. Call Allied Injury Group for a free consultation now.
Call 800-894-6680. That's 800-894-6680. Again, 800-894-6680.
Get ready for grilling season with the Ultimate Burger Perfection Flight for just $89.99 when you shop OmahaSteaks.com and use promo code SIZZLE at checkout. That's 24 rich and juicy Omaha Steaks Pure Ground Burgers. They're guaranteed to deliver an explosive combination of tenderness, juiciness, and unmatched quality. Each 6-ounce burger is guaranteed to satisfy with every bite. That's OmahaSteaks.com, SIZZLE at checkout to unlock this exclusive deal. Hurry, supplies are limited.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtBlue is here for you. With DebtBlue's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtBlue are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
I prefer it when the Democrat Party is the party of chaos and anarchy and, you know, rioting and shooting and burning police cars and supporting Hamas and Iran, and the Republican Party is the party of the steady hand and the cool voice, even though every now and then you need somebody to stand up and pound the table and shout and punch somebody in the nose, at least politically. Axios headline today, Mike Johnson confuses GOP and fight against motion to vacate. That's the effort to kick him out. Marjorie Taylor Greene, the headline is, Greene says she doesn't care if, quote, Speaker's office becomes a revolving door, end quote. It's not really a good play. The last handful of Republican speakers have not had a good go of it. Let's stop acting like crazy left-wingers. Democrats could save Mike Johnson's job. That would be catastrophic. and that shouldn't be allowed. The Democrats are angling to get their radical extremist racist Hakeem Jeffries, anti-Semite also, in the speaker's job. Nancy Pelosi was an effective speaker, not on the side of the United States of America, but she was, you know, effective at enriching herself and her friends and moving all of that corrupt Democrat stuff through Congress. And Johnson says he won't change rules for ousting speakers after warnings, you see, from GOP hardliners. Hardliners. Notice that lefties are never hardliners, but they're out there championing the cause of Iran and Hamas. Honestly. Yeah, and why Johnson won't just pass Ukraine aid. Let's try to make Washington look like the United States of America. Let's try to make the Congress look like the U.S. Congress is supposed to look. Let's restore regular order. Let's debate the great issues of our day.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.